Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights of the round table, three dots where we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we've given rise that are quite unsingable. We're off the bag in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Do you hear that? Do you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the... So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. I think it's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Shazam's the Terrible! All rise for King Shazam's the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table! Okay, and the sign's on the door, and there ain't gonna be no live show today because the sign says gone crazy, be back later. So, what you're listening to is, you're listening to it. Alright? We're trying to Google up insane so we can find out what's insane. Anyway, in the meantime, I want to play a short podcast. You're not listening to the Knights of the Round Table today, because we have, the sign says, read the sign, it says, gone crazy, be back later. You know, kind of like gone fishing. You all figured out by halfway through the show, I'm sure. the show that ain't happening. Yeah, that's what. Alright, well, I'm going to play this one podcast right here. And just to get things started, see, we got coffee, all right? And you can always tell if you're crazy. If you've got coffee, you are crazy. All right, here we go.
It's what the mainstream media was too afraid to tell you about the news this week. This week, while the mainstream media obsessed over fabricated claims of collusion in the Mueller report, here are the things that happened that really matter. According to a new study by the RAND Corporation, human smugglers and coyotes made as much as $2.3 billion in 2017 from migrants they trafficked across the U.S. border illegally. Drug cartels, too, also made $30 to $100 million in 2017 from the illegal immigration industry, because the drug cartels charge the human smugglers a peso tax to use their territories. In addition to that, drug cartels use migrant smuggling as distraction to draw Border Patrol resources and agents while they smuggle drugs across our border just miles away. But did the mainstream media report on this bombshell report? Did they include this really important information in any of their stories about President Trump's border wall? Nope. The mainstream media didn't say a word. The Supreme Court is set to rule on whether the Trump administration is permitted to include a question about citizenship on the 2020 census. Democrats claim it's unconstitutional and racist, but a question about citizenship was included on all census questionnaires until 1950. And here's the real kicker. A question about citizenship was included on the long-form version of the census questionnaire, which is served to about 1 in 6 households, until 2010, when Barack Obama removed it. But did the mainstream media report on this? Nope. The mainstream media didn't want to ruin the left's narrative that everything Trump does is racist, so the mainstream media didn't say a word. 15 Planned Parenthood abortion clinic workers have left their jobs since the movie Unplanned premiered. This, according to the movie's director and spokesperson. The Unplanned movie tells the story of how abortion clinic manager Abby Johnson saw an abortion on an ultrasound and realized that abortion ends a baby's life. She subsequently quit the business. Now, 3 weeks after the movie premiered, 146 total abortion workers have reached out to Abby Johnson's ministry, which is called And Then There Were None, to inquire about how to leave their jobs too. But did the mainstream media report on this? No, of course they didn't. The mainstream media ignored, even when Google labeled Unplanned as propaganda. Just like they ignored when Planned Parenthood was caught breaking federal law selling aborted baby body parts. According to Open Doors USA, the most persecuted religious people in the world are Christians. Christian churches are the number one target for hate crimes, according to this group. 105 Christian churches or Christian buildings are attacked every single month around the world. 219 Christians are detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned per month around the world. 11 Christians are killed every day for their faith. That's 345 every single month. But when 359 Christians were killed in Sri Lanka by radical Islamist terrorists, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama called the victims Easter worshippers, not Christians. And did the mainstream media report on this? No, they didn't. They did not say a word. The mainstream media doesn't care to report any of that to you. So we will.
So, I like if anything, any of that's true. That's pretty doggone disturbing. Anyway, neutrons, protons, electrons said in the People for People chat room, Shazoo's, if you get a psych evaluation and are deemed to be sane, does that mean you're insane? Gotta be mad to be okay with this world, Yeah, that's true. That, man.
I think that's a perfect analogy. But, you know, this Planned Parenthood, I just have to jump in here with this Planned Parenthood thing. I just read a little blurb on the president of the Planned Parenthood, because apparently a judge knocked down something that the Planned Parenthood, I guess funding for Planned Parenthood, yes. And so it says Trump, the president of Planned Parenthood, says, this is crazy, this is definitely crazy, gone out to fish. She said, Trump's plan to not fund Planned Parenthood is killing millions of people.
What? that's crazy.
She definitely went fishing today, because I'm thinking, wait a second, abortion is what is killing millions of unborn babies.
Yeah, and sometimes in doggone, you know, the latest term portion of the thing, that's what really disturbs me about that whole deal.
Well, let's just talk about gone fishing, because, you know, crazy, the world is crazy. It's stuff like that just blows my mind, but because people are in such disarray with their hate these days, you know, being, you know, funneled into the hate rhetoric, they can't see straight. They look at something like that, well, you know, because of course they're saying, well, and it's true, Planned Parenthood does help women in other ways, health issues, you know, mammograms and all that stuff, but basically the big money maker is the abortion, and what I mean money maker is the fetus parts that they sell, and this is a mind blower to me. Talk about gone crazy. I mean, how can you, as a human race, humane, you know, do this? Make a business out of fetal parts? And I mean, this is factual. This is not made up. Well, wait a second.
Yeah,
now.
No, that Veritas guy, he got a whole bunch of people on tape talking about selling parts. And I'm with you. I don't see how this could be right in anybody's mind, you know?
Well, I was like, I saw that video. It's like, it was creepy, because this person who worked at Planned Parenthood was discussing with him about pulling out the different parts, and this is like a, well, yeah, here we go. This is, again,
treating like a salvage yard, you know? Like,
well, and she's eating lunch. She's stuffing her mouth with salad while she's talking about how you gotta, anyway, I can't even talk about it, folks, because it's just the correct, talk about gone crazy. The world is out fishing.
Yeah.
They're gone crazy. Who is it then is in the human body? I don't know. Who is in the body? I don't want to say human.
Well,
humane.
You heard them always talking about a zombie apocalypse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I kind of get the feeling we're already seeing the equivalence of a zombie apocalypse, maybe not the glorified version such as on TV, you know, or in the movies where they got rotted corpses walking around eating brains and stuff. But I'm thinking, if they were out eating brains in this day and age, they'd probably starve.
Well, there are some people out there eating brains. Cannibalism is on the rise.
Yeah.
You know? Don't you know?
What is
going
on?
I think the human, or whatever that is out fishing out there. There's a lot of fishing poles dipping in the waters, but and yeah, who is in the body, the physical body? Because some stuff is going on. Well, you know, I have my theory about the, you know, the and we, you talked about this too, about the posters or the billboards that tell you, you know, I guess where you can't really see the words. It's subliminal messages that are telling you God is speaking to you, And the God that's speaking to you is saying, go out there and eat people's faces, you know?
Yeah, that's disgusting, man. But, yeah, that technology really does exist. I mean, it kind of disappeared from, you know, public view. And I think because if you have that kind of type of technology, you wouldn't want, you know, it to be mainstream, because you could use that as one heck of a tool by driving people insane, you know, driving them crazy. You're hearing voices in your head. And most folks, when you talk about, yo, I hear voices, oh, you're crazy, but maybe there really is somebody transmitting signals like that, and they really are hearing voices, and it's telling them to do all kinds of crazy things.
Well, there are shooters, you know, massacres, those whatevers, there's a number of them, and that have said, I heard this voice in my head to tell me, I guess it was that, I don't know if it was the Florida one or the Sandy Hook one. I don't know. One of them said, I heard voices in my head that told me to kill, kill, kill. Now, those doctors and everybody else there are going to drag that person in and start injecting him with, you know, whatever, because he's insane. And they don't pay attention to how many people have said, well, I heard this voice in my head. And it's not just the shooters that we hear about. It's like your average... Your everyday average neighbor, you know, maybe not your neighbor, but down the street or around the corner, who have done some kind of atrocity, who said, well, I heard this voice in my head. I mean, it's like,
well,
I've been hearing voices in my head, and I figured out it's not me. It's some intrusive entity that's trying to feed off of me and get me to go down with depression or sit there like a log, you know, like a stump or something or whatever you call it, and just stare out the window like a zombie, you know?
Yeah. Well, two things. One or two things could be possible. Either somebody's beaming stuff in your brain, or it's like whenever the Pope's talking about doing more exorcisms. So either we got demons jumping on us, or we got doggone. Either way, it's a bad deal. Neutrons, protons, and electrons said in the chat room, says, Shaz, with all your mad science info, can you not hack into the mainstream TV? I actually could. Seriously, if I really...
And why would you want to? I don't know.
Well, if I did, I'd probably end up in jail, because I'd be a terrible criminal. It's like...
Well, you could claim insanity.
Well, I probably could, but if I would, let's say hypothetically I decided I wanted to be a drug dealer, right? So one day I go out and I get me some magic mushrooms or something, and I'm going to go hawk them, right? Well, I get out there and I say, hey, man, you want to buy some stuff? And he'd be like, yeah, how much? And then I'd tell him, and he'd say, you're under arrest. And I said, oh, that figures. And he said, well, how long you been selling drugs? And I'd be like, well, about 5 minutes now. And he said, well, you're not very good at it, are you? I said, nope. I get busted the first time I tried. So, you know.
What does that mean, under arrest?
I don't know.
What about over arrested, under arrested, or in arrested, or?
They're going to either lock me in, lock me out, or lock me up. Either way, it's not good.
Well, I think there's somebody here on the chat that's insane, you know.
I'm sure.
I'll tell you why, because Aunt James is saying he's seeing little white balls of fluff. Now, that's pretty insane.
Wow.
Hey, Craigmore. Hey, you guys out there.
Well,
I don't know. I'm worried about you, Aunt James. You're seeing little white balls of fluff.
Well, we all done gone crazy. We'll be back later. So you're not listening to a show right now. It's not happening live.
We're not real. We're not really here.
Yeah, where are those little balls of fluff that you keep hearing?
Well, you be the little ball of fluff. I'm not going to be a ball of fluff. Well, sometimes I feel like I have a ball of fluff in my brain. Maybe that's this morning. I don't know.
Things just don't seem to make any sense anymore. Today started off kind of awry anyway, because yesterday during the show I muted my phone and put it all on vibrate only so that it wouldn't make a loud noise in the middle of the show. And so I went on about my day, set my dog on the alarm clock, and I woke up and the sun's shining. I'm like, wait a second, I'm late.
Wait, are you telling me that you turned your vibrator off?
No, on the phone.
I'm sorry. I had to go there.
Sorry. there's a setting on the phone, and it buzz in your pocket if you got, you know, a phone call, and you'll know your phone's ringing. No, I put it on vibrate, and so that's all it did this morning, and it didn't wake me up. It didn't have the music playing. But yeah, no, it wasn't like that.
And James is trying to explain himself.
All right,
I said I think he's insane. He's seeing little balls of fluff, and he's saying, well, he was just talking to May about the 4 new peregrine chicks hatched this morning. Well, that's really sweet.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
okay,
see?
Aunt James. Don't worry, Aunt James. We know you're not insane. I was just joking with you.
No, that's all right. So, you know, it's not bad to be crazy, though, you know. A lot of us are.
Well, I've been claiming that for a long time. When people come to me all upset, they're crying. Well, they said I was crazy. I said, yeah, well, I'm crazy, too. Join the crowd. Feel good about it. Be happy. Be crazy, right?
Get in line. We've been here longer. Oh, man.
Well, that woman who was talking about on the pod there, talk about crazy, the way she was describing, the way she said the word coyote.
Yeah.
She's called coyotes. I said, what the heck is a coyote?
Coyote.
Come on, it's coyote. Not a coyote.
Anyway, you get out there and you look early in the morning, you know, at all the different news content, and I swear, man, it's just like, well, some of them, they all say breaking on there, so, you know, they got the clickbait, you know, good
deals. Yeah, like breaking news.
Yeah, ain't breaking, it's not new. I saw that yesterday.
Cyclone bomb.
A bombshell, yeah, that's one they say. That'll get us some more listeners there. We just said bombshell.
That's called unprecedented.
Yeah.
What's the other word? The go for word that is like never, ever, ever before experienced in your world, in your life on the earth. This happened today.
Yeah. And that doggone thing is, if you are suckered into clicking on it, they got probably 20 ads on one video. So, you know, some people on YouTube are actually making money, but the large channels, they're actually starting to feel the pain of the adpocalypse that happened quite some time ago. And, of course, YouTube ain't helping it out any. They're getting it even worse because they got this doggone artificial intelligence that scans your videos for keywords, and then it'll demonetize you or, you know, do things to your video where you don't get they don't get views and stuff like that. In all actuality, YouTube's hurting themselves by doing that, but on the same hand, they're back whenever they had put it so that everybody could be a partner on there, people were uploading all kinds of trash, plus stealing videos and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So in YouTube's defense, sort of, is that, you know, they had to clean the mess up, you know. During the adpocalypse, they were people like liberals were getting mad at conservatives, so they would go out there and boycott YouTube's advertisers, and so YouTube's advertisers started dropping off YouTube, and so YouTube started losing money, and they tried desperately to get it, you know, back. And it's gone awry, but now the larger channels are actually starting to feel the pain of it because they're getting videos that probably should not be demonetized, and so it's hitting them in the wallet. So what used to be a really good platform, you know, as YouTube, back when the day, it was kind of like a family kind of thing, you know, you had friends and you could keep in contact with them and share content and videos and stuff like that, and if you got a big enough channel, they'd make you a partner, and it used to be pretty cool. nowadays it's getting to where everybody's wanting to leave YouTube as far as video creators. But nonetheless, that's just an example of how some good intentions might destroy something that otherwise would have been a pretty cool thing. You know, you could actually earn a living at one point on YouTube. You can't now, unless you're one of these really large channels with, all the different, what do they call them? People who'll put a sticker on the side of your race car. What do they call those folks?
Oh, I don't know.
You know, like brands, they'll come in there.
Oh, yeah.
Sponsors.
Sponsors. Yeah, but, they sponsor you.
Yeah, but either way, you know, it makes a mess out of everything. But...
Well, I want to go to the word insane, because I popped in, what is the definition of insane? So, you know, it's a state of mind, or being most commonly unstable, both behavioral and or emotional, in some cases even physical, if not treated properly, with the right levels of care and attention. Now, the right levels of care and attention, they mean drugs, that's what they're meaning. But here's a doctor talking to a mother about her son. To be frank with you, Miss Berry, your son is what I would call emotionally well-rounded. Sadly, I must let you know the test results. Normally, I do this kind of thing over the phone, but in your case, I thought it'd be best in person. Less confusing that way. Your son appears normal, but in his case, the ADD and bipolar disorders have made a mess of his mind, and I don't know if there's much we can do about the after result. Medication would only delay certain symptoms, and even there's no medical way to know if it will even help with his father's history of mental illness. It was only a matter of time before his genetics took hold and changed him. Now, I don't want to be so down there. Our other options, we have plenty of in our facility, doctors, oh my God, who specialize in this, I just messed up this thing, because something popped right in the thing of the blah, 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 and I can't read it. So, this is going to be a list of local care facilities at your disposal. There is hope. But he is disturbed, unstable, but not insane.
Insane.
Yeah. But, okay, so I'm just saying there's some very, to be frank with you, genetics, your father's to blame. It's the genetics. That's a bunch of hooey-dooey, I think. That's insane.
Well, I think this doggone craziness that we see in the world, if that ain't enough to drive you insane, it ain't nothing will. But
well, the doctor says there is hope. He's just a little different. That's all.
Well, who gets to decide? I mean, is it the doctor that gets to decide whether you're insane or...
Well, what does that mean, he's just a little different? I was different. Were you different?
I think we're all different.
I think that's why we're crazy.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But this guy is scaring this mother to death. Normally, I do this kind of thing over the phone. But in your case, I thought it best in person. So your son appears normal, but he's really not normal. I mean, how confusing is that?
You know, the scary thing about that, I think, is if they talk to any kid these days, they're not going to seem normal. I mean, they're going to look normal, but whenever you hear what they have to say, because they've compiled all this information from all different directions, you know, some of which is propaganda, some of which is maybe conspiracy theories kind of thing, you know, and so on down the line, If you are a regular YouTube watcher, you're probably insane by now. Seriously.
Man. Well, look at the picture I just popped up. I can't pop it up on the People for People chat, but look at the picture. That's what we look like.
Where'd it go? Is it in the sky?
It's in... Yes.
Oh, I'm not seeing it.
Oh, I just popped it into you in our Skype chat. Yeah.
All right. Well,
it's there. It's some. Well, you have to see it to believe it. It's like, but some guy with his eyes wide open and his tongue sticking out of the side of his mouth, looking like he's pretty insane.
That's probably normal. So.
Well, you know the thing about hearing voices in your head. Okay, so now.
Barry said he's insane.
Oh yay! Join the crowd.
Should we drop him in the deal here?
Well, where is he? He's not on People for People. No, don't drop him in. He's got to get on People for People, or we're not dropping anybody
in. There you go.
Sorry. That's how crazy we are today.
Pay your dues, Barry.
Oh, my. So, talking about hearing voices, like, there's a real thing going on where you hear guidance. Okay, there's something there, and... when you hear the voice of guidance, you know, or your internal wisdom voice, you know, like there's like people who are saying, you know, when they're, I heard voices, I mean, I hear the voice of spirit. Well, I learned very early on when I was a kid, you just don't say these things to some people. You don't tell people what's really going on because, yeah, they will think you're insane. They will think you're crazy.
Yeah, but
and
see, that when you talk about like that, like for example, some people they think they've seen Bigfoot, and some people believe they've seen UFOs and all this kind of stuff. And every one of those subjects, including you know, even in the you know spiritual realm, you know, I heard this you know, I believe God talked to me, or you know, whatever. There's certain things in this world that are like taboo. You can't talk to people because they look at you all cross-eyed. Yeah, sure you saw a UFO. Yeah, sure you saw Bigfoot. Oh, look, he's hearing voices in his head. He's nuts. We actually do that to each other, not here on this show, but I mean as humans. We don't believe in anything anybody says anymore. You see what I'm saying? Like,
well,
I do, but there
are people who claim, I guess we have to figure this out. Because I see certain people, like evangelists, who say, God said this to me, and God spoke to me last night, and God said this, and blah, blah. And then there are people who really do hear the spirit, you know, the voice of Creator, Great Spirit, but it's like they're not out there shouting around trying to turn people to their religion. They're not trying to say, you know, come to my church or whatever. Or usually it's like, you know, God that they're hearing in their head is talking about hell and burning in hell, and you know, you're gonna burn in hell, and so on and so forth. There's a difference, I guess, of, are these people really hearing that? They could be, but
well,
they could be something else, not the word of God or not God. I don't know.
I don't discount anything that anybody says as far as, like, if they told me they saw a UFO, I don't discount it. They told me they saw Bigfoot. It wouldn't surprise me in the least. Things that I've seen in my life, unexplainable things that, you know, you just couldn't tell people about because they would look at you like you're crazy. And so, When you feel like you got to walk on eggshells to talk about things, you know, we're living in a strange world. You know, we can't be just up and honest. I honestly believe there's a whole lot more than meets the eye in the reality that we live in, that there are more possibilities than we can even imagine. I believe in spirituality. I believe that we're a lot more powerful than we think we are.
And, I agree.
And
yeah.
So, you know, but we've been basically implanted with either propaganda or some sort of mind control to put a seed of doubt in our minds as to what we could actually accomplish if we really chose to do so. So, you know, there is a reason why people wouldn't want you to get close to spirituality or even find out what the true history of humanity is. There's a real good reason for that. I mean, they would lose control. Imagine if you found out you had these capabilities. I mean, maybe the world would probably go a little bit nutty there for a while, but isn't it already? So, you know, I just want to get down to the truth. And that's really hard to do because today's day and age with the digital, realm that we live in, these people, not only are they doing crazy things, it's possible for them to basically create with video effects crazy things. We talked about it one time. They had computer software that could take a whole bunch of your words, recompile them, and even a picture of you, and make it look like you actually said something that you did not say.
That's right. When people, and I've said this before, when people come to tell me or they have a story and they say, they saw an E.T. or they were taken on a ship or they saw Bigfoot or, this tree talked to them. I don't laugh at them and I don't say that's crazy because I've had those things happen to me too. So who am I going to judge, right? But I'm just talking about those people, the ones who are using these deliberately to, basically to either incite people or terrify people. Control people. I guess what I'm talking about is, people do hear things in their head. Now we have technology that puts things in their heads.
Yep.
And like my daughter is possessed, so therefore I threw her in the river. I mean, people have said these kinds of things. And, so it's just, using your discernment tool to figure out, what is factual and what is false, what is real and what is a lie, these are, again, I have to go to energies and frequencies because lies and basically things of nature that are not, not so good and worse, have a different frequency, and you can use that tool, basically to discern the person I'm sitting in front of here who's on the podium screaming his head off about Jesus said this or God said that or so on and so forth. Where is that coming from? Or if a person comes to you and says something, I heard this voice in my head, blah, blah, blah. So you just don't take this at face value is what I'm saying. We have to start utilizing the gifts that we were given, our discernment tool, because this is about frequencies and energies. And I just saw this professor give a talk on the human body, saying that we are made up of trillions and trillions of cells, that we're not just some blob, we're made up of trillions of trillions of cells in the body that have an intelligence, that communicate and relate with each other. And the main communicator, basically, is the brain. So, and the brain, basically downloads lots of information from the time we're little. I call it the computer, because it's like a computer. It downloads, tons and tons and tons of information, and it's stored in your brain.
Yep.
So, anything that you ever heard, felt, saw, whatever, received, and even those you're not aware of, has been stored in your brain. And so he was describing how the brain basically affects all of the cells, the trillions and trillions of cells in your body, and will act accordingly to what your mind, your brain, is telling it. Now, I have talked about this, I can't even know how long, about how what we think affects our body and creates what we are thinking.
Yeah.
So he was saying the same thing. He was talking about frequency. He was talking about how we are all connected through these frequencies, through the trillions and trillions of cells in our body, are not just frame. They're expanding. They energetically, frequency wise. That's how, for instance, when you say, "Oh," you get a phone call and you say, "Oh, hi, I was thinking of you. Oh, I was just thinking of you." Or you get a letter from somebody that you were just thinking of, or you had a dream of them. That's what's going on. So what we're talking about here is one good thing is that we are connected in energetically and frequency-wise in that relationship. That's why we say we're all related. But then there's the other side where this information is being manipulated and utilized by something very dark.
Well, right. There's a chat in the chat room over there, people for people. I can't pronounce his name. It's A-N-J-M-E-S.
Anjens.
Okay, well.
That's what I say.
Alright, well, that's good enough for me. Anyway, he said that convoy of tanks in California has directed energy weapons installed. One is called the Voice of God. They can speak to someone as if they are in their head. Miles away by using it.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's what way back. I don't know if you remember the story, but there was a story came out about when they went into Iraq over there before going into Iraq. They had this real big buildup about the Republican Guard of Iraq that were they were really well trained and they were all bragging about how if the U.S. soldiers come up against the Republican Guard, they're going to get mopped or whatever. And then there's a story that came out about how these soldiers were literally walking up and hugging and crying the American soldiers and turning themselves in by, you know, the thousands. And I'm like, what? How could that even possibly be? But the technology that they just mentioned right there, you could use that type of technology to cause that kind of a result. You see what I'm saying?
Well, we know this technology because it will HAARP, the HAARP, you know, was a big push there using this technology to control the minds of supposed, you know, people who are going to come here to this United States of America to attack us. This HAARP, the waves, the frequency wave, by the way, to affect the minds of those soldiers, to drive them crazy or to, you know, to knock them down or whatever, or hold them immobile. Or these kinds of things for technology have been in place for a long, long time, folks.
Well, it's not it's not so crazy because way back in, like, Korea and Vietnam, they would used to play, like, these old records or loudspeakers.
Oh, live in world. They did that in World War II. They did it in Korea more. And they do it all over China. In Mao Zedong time, and they still do it today, they have loudspeakers broadcasting, you know, the words of Mao, you know, the words of the dictator, like, you know, so imprinting this, it's like if you, it's like a radio on, day and night, day and night, day and night, loud speakers in your brain, deliberately. Would that drive you crazy?
Yeah. Well, you know, there were actually some learning programs that I hadn't heard about recently, but there were actually learning programs that while you were asleep, they would play these tapes. And you could learn things while you was asleep. Your brain subconscious would pick it up and you wouldn't even, like, you know, not sitting in a regular classroom where you're getting bored or anything like that. You're just hearing this repetitive over and over and over again.
Well, that's subliminal. I used a subliminal tape once. I wanted to try it. It was about developing your memory. This is interesting. So I have an aversion to numbers for some reason, you know, whatever. Doesn't matter the reason, I suppose. That's a whole other brainwashing. But I had an aversion to numbers, so therefore numbers wouldn't, I couldn't recall numbers. You know, I'd look at a number, I'd look at a set of numbers, and then I'd look away. Well, they weren't, I just couldn't recall them, not even one. So, you know, I was trying to see if I could develop my memory, my mind, and this subliminal tape was played, so I played it every night as I went to sleep. And, you know, I don't know, maybe a week or two, whatever, then I was in the car, I was driving in the car, and I said, I'm going to try to see what happened, what's been happening to my brain. I'm behind a car, and I'm looking at the license plate, and I looked at the license plate once. I kind of, like, looked up. I kept my eyes on the road, not on the license plate, and I could recall that license plate number. Then the car turned off and went someplace else, and for that whole day and whatever, if I focused, I could recall that number. So I knew that my brain was actually shifting and changing, and my recollection of numbers, because that was my focus pretty much, was actually working, you know? And this is amazing because the way of healing, for instance, is the the realization that we are body, mind, and spirit, okay? And Western medicine just basically focuses on your issue. You have a whatever here in the body will cut it out or radiate it to death, you know? But there's other things going on. There's your emotions, and there's the spiritual aspect, the physical body, mind, and spirit. So there have been studies, very successful studies, when you combine the healing of all three of these aspects of ourself, amazing things start to happen. And when you talk to your body in a positive way, for instance, if you talk to your immune system in a positive way, like through a meditation or through a mantra, you know, my immune system is healthy, my immune system is functioning perfectly. You know, my body is in health, good health, my liver is functioning perfectly in health, and so on. That starts to change, as that doctor, that professor was talking on the video I told you earlier. That's how the body and all those thousands of cells within the body, trillions of cells within the body, listens to the mind, what the mind believes in, or what you are speaking about, what you focus on, and functions and reacts accordingly to what you're saying. That's how extraordinary we can really. So if a doctor tells you, oh, I'm sorry, Joe, you're going to die in 6 months, if you believe that doctor, you pretty much die in 6 months, because your mind is talking, oh, my God, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. And the body, all those trillions of cells in the body go, oh, my God, we're dying, and that's what happens. That's how this works. It's pretty extraordinary.
I believe that. I believe that with everything, man. There's a, you know, if you absorb all that negativity, I told a story a while back how, you know, I was all bummed out and went down to my family's house, and all they had is negativity to say, and by the time it was all said and done, I had to get up out of there. Because, you know, I told them, basically, put the story short, I said, you know, I was bummed out when I got here, come down to hang out with my family to feel better, but after listening to all you, my life ain't so bad, I'm going home. But I had a physical reaction to just the words being said around that table.
Well, it's energy that hits you like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, so, you know, people might think you're crazy because you think you saw Bigfoot, and you may very well have seen Bigfoot. So I ain't gonna doubt you. I haven't personally. I mean, there was an experience where me and my cousin saw something that was big, black, and hairy jump in the wall and start swimming, jump in the water and start swimming towards us across the lake. And we didn't spend no time trying to figure out whether it was Bigfoot or a black bear, because Missouri does have black bear. We might have been in the neighborhood where there were some cubs, and this bear wasn't having no part of us being around. Bears can swim. And so we got in the doggone car and took off down the road, and to this very day, my cousin swears up and down, we saw Bigfoot. You know?
Well, we got sightings of Bigfoot around here in this part of the country, but all over the world there's been, you know, tales, sightings, you know, whatevers, of the Yeti, the Bigfoot, and so on. And my friend and I were out one night sitting up on the mountain on a starry night looking for UFOs. That's how crazy we are. but I've seen them. I've seen numerous of these. You know, not that I was looking. They just, you know, I had to good fortune to see them in different circumstances with other people, not just by myself. But we were out there sitting there on a starry, clear night, and it was quiet and beautiful night, and we're just kind of sitting there hanging out. And behind us on the mountain, we heard the most terrifying sound, the chills went up my back. And we looked at each other, and I said, Bigfoot. And we got up, and we got out of there. But because I've heard that Bigfoot can make the eeriest, chilling sounds.
Yeah.
And that's what came to my mind. I said, okay, let's get out of here now.
Crazy thing is, Bigfoot might actually be a nice guy or something like that. He'd be like wondering why everybody keeps screaming and running off.
Or trying to kill him.
Yeah. So,
well, in our tradition, these beings come from other realms, parallel realms, and Bigfoot once spent a lot of time here in this realm. This was part of our people's, you know, legends about Bigfoot. When I was out in Greengrass, South Dakota, along the Cheyenne River, I went out there for a gathering, and this is an interesting story if you think about this. So I took a bunch of the Indian kids down into the river, to swim, you know. And they're like 8 years old, 10 years old, 11 year old kids, and we're playing in the river and everything, and we're sitting there, and I'm teaching them how to use the stones to draw on other stones, and we're just hanging out talking, and suddenly they start telling me about this sighting a couple of years prior of Bigfoot there, that a whole family, they said they were playing down by the river, and they heard something, and they stood up, and they went around the bend of the river, and there, crossing the river, was a whole family of Bigfoots. These kids said to me, we ran up to the houses, got our parents, and all the people came down, standing there on the bank of the river, watching this whole family of Bigfoot going across the plains. And that's just a normal something for those people. That's just normal. All the indigenous tribes here on Turtle Island have their stories, you know, and when they talk about these things, here's the difference. These people don't talk about this so freely. It's not like they just blurt this out for nothing. They only talk about this stuff to people, outsiders, if they feel safe and trust those people.
Yeah.
Because these are real things. They don't make this stuff up. They don't talk about it randomly, and they don't posture themselves with these stories. They just don't do that. So I know that that was real. I know these kids, they didn't have anything, any reason, anything to gain to tell me. We weren't even talking about that kind of stuff, you know? And they told me this. So I'm just saying that throughout the indigenous peoples, even in Europe, they have their stories of the giants and of the little people and of other strange, you know, well, not to them strange, but to most people these would be, you know, creepy, strange, or something to be terrified of, you know.
Well, I saw a video creator on YouTube was doing this thing about old trees and statues and stuff like that. And if you go back and you think about the stories in Greek mythology and, you know, medieval times, stuff like that, you know, even to the extent about dragons and stuff, and you actually listen to, like, for example, Medusa. The story about Medusa was she was so hideous that if you looked upon her, you'd turn into stone.
Right.
And there's even actually a biblical reference where people were actually turned into pillars of salt as well. But nonetheless, Medusa was supposed to be one of the Greek gods, and of course on the other side of the fence it could have been possibly the fallen angels that came down and mated with the daughters of men and made these offspring that were abominations to the original creation. But let's say hypothetically there was a Medusa. Well, there are some statues that are really unexplained, that they are so incredibly meticulously crafted, if they were carved or whatever, that nobody knows who the original artist was. You know, these are incredible statues.
Or where they got these, or where they got these images, this imagery, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, but, okay, so back to Bigfoot. You know, Gaz says Bigfoot is said to be a genetic experiment before us, but no, that's not true. Genetic experiment, I mean, like, well, he's saying we're all genetic experiments. I kind of tend to not fully go in that direction. You know, that's a whole other show, but Bigfoot, the little people, all these types of things, you know, there was, you're talking about, well, from the beginning, I guess you're talking about E.T., genetic experiment, not humane, if they're human, not human genetic experiments. It's some outside entities. Well, the dinosaurs, you could say, were a genetic experiment, right, from another race, off-planet. That's a theory, you know, we could say that.
Well, there, right? There could very well have been a hidden history to this world that we were never privy to. I mean, because it only take about a generation to get people to not remember that, you know, for example, let's say they got rid of the Constitution somehow. And about a generation later, if you were constantly taught any given subject, you wouldn't even know that there ever was such a document unless somehow or another you stumbled onto some lost archives. Like, you know, when we're out here doing all this research and we're finding old videos and old, articles about certain things that weren't taught mainstream or anything like that, and so they, aka now we have this conspiracy world, right? And if you talk about it, you're nutty or whatever. You talk about UFOs, you're nutty, or you know what I'm saying.
Well, I have a question about this the genetic experiment thing. So, okay, I kind of like tend on the side of some may have been experimented with. If you believe in a great spirit or creator, like I do, that to me is the divine source of the creation. Then there's gods, okay, what are called gods. I don't use the word God because in the Bible it says gods. The gods said, let us make them in our image. Who were these gods, and what kind of image did they have? See, I don't identify myself with those gods that's written in the Bible. There's only one, and I don't say God, because I don't want to mess up my communication with any gods. So I, and my spiritual path is in the Lakota tradition, and my people are the Nantachoklan up in Delaware, which don't talk about a god. They talk about a great spirit or a creator great spirit, or in the language of my people, it's Wakantanka Tokashla. So I think that there were probably these gods that were spoken of in the Bible, gods plural, that said, let us make them in our image. And so what kind of an image was that? Let's mess with their genetics. That I kind of think happened, but not with me, not my genetics. I'm going to say, because I didn't come from, I wasn't messed around with it. My people weren't messed with those whatevers. Now there were star beings, star people with Jopio Yate, the star relatives, which basically were, you know, guides or teachers and allies, you want to say, of humanity, allies of the earth. So I'm just saying there's a lot of different stuff going on here. It's not just one thing that occurred. It was the battle of the gods, you know. You could say, well, that's just a story, that's just a myth. Well, things are kind of pointing to the fact that that is factual, that there is the battle of the gods.
Well,
gods.
Just those statues open up a question in my mind, at least. If you don't know who the original sculptor or the artist is, and these things are so incredibly, almost like they were 3D printed or, you know, done with lasers or something like that, but... These are old statues. So what if Medusa really did exist in some point in our history and really seriously did turn somebody into stone? You know?
Well, I kind of tend to believe these ancient stories are not myths. They're real. They're factual. I've learned that a long time ago, and basically they left us a lot of warnings. Now, look at some of the carvings, the signs on the temples, the carvings, the paintings, the statues, what you're all talking about. These are signs, these are messages to those people coming. Now, thinking of those statues, just comes to my mind about those statues, the gargoyles, the monster things all over Notre Dame, hanging out on the eaves outside the church and all that stuff, these creepy monster kind of things that are hanging out. You know what I'm talking about,
I've
right?
Yeah, I've seen them.
They're on a lot of churches, but Notre Dame was jam-packed with them.
I actually seen a bunch of them over here. You know, gargoyles. There's a story behind them. I have to Google up the actual story, but nonetheless, they were on a lot of buildings, a lot of older buildings. So, There could actually be hidden history.
A lot of them are on churches. A lot of them are on, yes, important buildings, churches. So, you know, we look at imagery and the impressions upon the minds of people. We're looking at signs. We're looking at vibrations. We're looking at frequencies of a statue. We're looking at the intent of carving this, of creating this statue, and what it does to the mind of people. You know, you look at this demonic entity, this gargoyle hanging over the balcony in the church. You know, I mean, there's a lot of imageries, a lot of affecting mind control, imagery, frequencies. We're talking about all this stuff, you know. But those creepy things, it's like, but I have seen this, it's interesting, Shazaz, I have seen this entity, and I've talked about this on the shows, I have seen the evil entities, and you know what, I've seen the same entity in old paintings where a person would be sleeping, somebody painted this picture, maybe it was them, they painted a picture of themselves, beautiful paintings, but in the room, in the dark recesses of the room, is this entity looking at them, and I have to say, that's the same entity that I saw in real life on a person in this day.
There's a message in the Shaziz radio chat room said the flood started because people started mixing with animals. That's TJ Maj, I think. But yeah, if there was a higher power, such as the way it was explained in the biblical flood, that when the angels mated with the daughters of men and produced these offspring that they called Nephilims or whatever, and they started mating with animals, and the creator got fed up with all this, it's just messed up down there, and just flooded the whole joint. And so there could actually be a history behind that history that we never even known. And there's another guy out there. Actually, two of them. One called Mud Fossils, and one they talk about mud floods, where there's actual buildings that, you know, it looked like at one time these buildings were taller, and instead of building, you know, tearing the whole building down, they just built on top of the old building, and so you see these windows that are kind of arch shaped that look like at one time they could have possibly been a door. And then there's actual buildings that the doorways themselves are incredibly tall, as if at one point there were some really tall people in existence. And these don't really go back that far as what they're talking about. You're only talking about back in the 1800s. So how many years ago would that have been? You know, and could there have been like an entire civilization or... you know, this massive event that occurred that basically changed history as we know it. And then when they started teaching the kids in school, this is your new history right now, about a generation later, they would have no clue that these people or entities ever even walked the earth. You see what I'm saying?
Well, that whole thing about the giants being born in a film, and after mating, you know, with the daughters of the earth, who were beautiful and pure, and they started to corrupt creator's creation, and they started to mess around doing weird stuff, and they started shifting everything in this pure, beautiful, sacred creation by doing that. And the thing is today we have, just there were three men recently, this is only recently because I've noticed this rise in this other insane, talking about crazy insane behavior of men fornicating with animals. You know, there were three men recently arrested that have been doing this for years, and they're instigating young boys to get involved in this too.
That's disgusting.
Oh yeah, but this is not the first time I've seen this. I'm saying, what is going on here? So you see, is this a repeat of history? You know, are we the Babylon over all over again? But as far as the flood is concerned, Noah's flood, we call it, or the big flood, or the one flood, because that's what you're talking about, that person who wrote that post. The flood, okay, came to wipe out all of humanity and so on, to get rid of all the bad blood, if you want to call it, and start all over again. Well, guess what? There was a flood prior to Noah's flood. It was in Egypt long before And that's written also, and it's identical, exact, to what is spoken about in the Bible of Noah's flood. So who's got copyright here, is what I'm saying. So you have this stuff going on, sort of like a repeat of insanity rising in all manner of areas here. And, well, what's happening? We see the rising up of insanity. But is it being deliberately manipulated to be created to fulfill some prophecy that somebody wrote? This is where I'm going. Somebody of not sound mind long ago wrote certain things and created, you know, a manipulation, a series of ways to manipulate the minds of people. This is ancient wisdom. This is nothing new. You know, how to manipulate minds. How to use magic. We're talking magic, you know?
Well, in today's day and age, if you was to actually take some of today's technology and hypothetically travel back into time, they would assume you was a god. I mean, you had like a Bic lighter. You pull it out and then turn the fire. You know, what's going on here? Or the guns or whatever.
If a Coke bottle fell from the sky,
yeah, I saw that video.
Landed on your head. It's called the gods have gone crazy or gods have gone mad or something.
Yeah.
Coke bottle fell on this primitive tribe down from the sky. Probably somebody threw it out of a plane. It's a humorous. Basically, what it is, it's a bit of humor, but in fact. Some kind of truth about what happens to people.
Yeah.
This primitive tribe, a guy was out there in the tundra and a Coke bottle fell on his head. Well, he basically had the peace from God, you know, and made him a god, and then everybody started, they were peaceful people living in harmony and balance, and then suddenly a Coke bottle appears out of the sky and they believe it's a message from God. So the person who owns the Coke bottle basically is now revered, okay? Now this person is important. Now this shifts the whole mind of the tribe, the whole way of living, of harmony and balance, and sharing everything, right? They're all equal. Now somehow an equality has come into the way of their people. So now they all start fighting, and that guy gets killed because some other guy wants the Coke bottle. And this is how it happens.
Yeah, and then he went on this large quest to go give it back.
Yeah, try to give the Coke bottle back, right?
Yeah. So, you know, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that there could have been something different. It's just, we wouldn't know by this time in our life because of the way that history was rewritten, so to speak. So, I don't discount anything anybody says. But I still, when we start off talking about gone crazy, be back later, that's what this world seems to have done. They're out to lunch, they're gone crazy, gone fishing. Nobody really seems to understand what's really the most important thing about the world we live in. You know, okay, maybe the planet needs help cleaning up. I'm on board with that. I'm good with that. We've got technology. We've got everything to solve problems. My frustration comes from the fact knowing that there's all the science to back up everything that should have everyone on this world have a better quality of life, yet we don't see a quality of life equally distributed amongst people. The powerful, the elite, the mainstream media, they've lied to us so much, they've propagandized us, basically mind controlled us and did all kinds of stuff and even indoctrinated us in the public school system to believe in certain things. And then when it comes down to, you know, you choose what you believe, and then if you don't like what somebody else believes, you might beat them up for a red hat, you know? And I'm thinking, this is insane. This is crazy. All these people arguing over things and things that people do to get attention. If you go out there on YouTube and you look up videos of people doing crazy things, they're risking their lives in so many different directions, doing insane things so that they can get clicks on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter or whatever. Like the guy that shot himself in the face with a Roman candle while all his friends stood idly by and said, yeah, do it, you know. I don't get it. You know, why? It's just like the whole world has lost its doggone mind. That movie, Idiocracy, it looks like to me, anyway, it seems to be coming true, you know. They say life imitates art. Well, there might come a day where that movie Idiocracy be more apt to be the truth, and, you know, by that time, I wouldn't want to live in a world like that, where nobody had any doggone common sense. Let's say, hey, just hypothetically, that throughout the history of humanity, we've gotten really super technologically advanced multiple times. And then we turned around because of the power structure that be, destroyed ourselves over and over and over again. I mean, how many times do you think we could get by with that before, you know, whatever created us decides, you know, look, this is a failed experiment. You know, I don't look at it as a failed experiment. I honestly believe that if we really seriously wanted to, and we could get back to the truth of our real roots, and we could also start to work in harmony with nature and one another and work things out. But right now, you're looking at a mess. Just a complete and utter mess as far as the information that's put out there, the number of people that believe in so many different things that they're willing to fight, kill, or steal over. You know, it's just, to me, I don't know how to clean a mess this massive up outside of, like, you know, I hate to say it.
Well, you know what? Trouble. It's not your job. It's not your job to clean up the mess. It's not my job to clean up the mess. And I want to say that we have repeated history over and over again, because there were highly technological civilizations. I mean, we're seeing how they go back further and further and further now. And, you know, this Christian fact, the Christian idea that, you know, the earth is what, only 2,000 years old? I don't know. Is that what it is?
About 6 or 7, according to what I think.
All right, well, 6 or 7. So, you know, I mean, so that basically throws out the window, you know, archaeological finds and so on and so forth. And also the unearthed and archaeological findings of these ancient cities and these ancient temples. But we are talking technology beyond what is capable today to create these things. But listen, what about Atlantis? You know, the story of Atlantis, basically, and Lemuria, you have two different ancient cultures there. And I do kind of feel that this was very factual, because we see now Göbekli Tepe takes civilization back so far beyond our imaginings, and they were highly technological builders, and they left us messages to show not only that they had this technology, you know, and then they buried the whole thing. It's really a fascinating find. But so you have this story of Atlantis and Lemuria. So basically the Atlanteans determined that they were going to go into the direction that we today are going into, the technology. Technology became God, and they put aside their spirituality, whereas Lemurian became basically focused and based on the spiritual way, okay, or let's say relationship in a spiritual manner with creation and harmony and balance. And so then, you know, they decided to basically, you know, I guess they were one and up and on each other. And I guess the story is, well, they had their nuclear war, or entities from another world came and had a nuclear war. I don't remember the full story, but there are signs out there in the desert that there was a nuclear happening. Something happened that was on the, you know, level of a nuclear explosion. Now scientists and archaeologists and so on are finding signs of that in the Middle East area. So you have these civilizations that were rising up. Study the Kali Yuga. The Kali Yuga tells it all. There's the Golden Age, there's the Bronze Age, there's the Stone Age, and so on and so forth. And there's the Dark Age. So you have civilizations that rise up to heights beyond our imagining, and then suddenly they disappear. Now we're talking, it's logical, you could say, because you have these ancient places that are being uncovered by archaeologists that show their technology beyond our abilities. So that tells you these civilizations go back so far, but what happened to these people?
But the problem about all of that is still the same exact thing, is that we got some sort of power structure, whether it be, you know, by our knowing or not knowing, higher powers, I guess, people in positions of power who are able to either hide, like, you know, there's supposedly this large archive in the Vatican, alright, with all kinds of information that we don't know about and we're not privy to, just like as in the government, there was that video about all this hidden information, hidden history underneath the White House or something like that, you know, and there's all kinds of information that had been gathered up, and even to the extent where there's stories about the Smithsonian Institute that every time somebody finds a skeleton of a giant, they rush in and get it, and it just disappears. And so we're not privy to that story as far as, you know, people teaching you in school, hey, look, there was this history of us destroying ourselves over and over again with technology. For what purpose would these people at the very top want to continuously keep us in the dark about where it is that we came from, who it is that we actually are, or what, or, you know, you see what I'm trying to get at? We're never told the full story about anything. You know, they say the victor writes the history books, right? Well, we're getting some crazy stories.
They don't want us to know. They don't want us to know the real history of our origins. They don't want us to know who we really are. They don't want us. The whole point is to control humanity. The whole point, and it's long ago that this was determined, you know, to control humanity for their own purposes. And we're finding out pretty close to what their purpose is.
Well,
you know,
don't you think, though, that if we actually knew the truth, that a lot of these arguments and fights and wars that's going on probably wouldn't be the same? I mean, this world would probably be a lot different if there was, you know, like, let's say one day they come out full disclosure and say, you know, this is our real history, this is where we came from, this is what's going on, and this is why we suppressed all this information, because we didn't want you folks killing each other or whatever. But in the meantime, all this craziness that's going on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, you know, governments gathering up information on individuals, it's a money-making deal, not to mention power and blackmail. If you want to go back in history and look at somebody's post on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you know, you can, if they decide they want to run for a public office, that somebody who could actually sway the public to changing the system, they can shut them down. All this information out here can be used against you or for you, depending on how you use it. You see what I mean?
Well, I think they'll not ever do that, frankly, because they have an agenda, and the agenda is very old, very ancient, and it's to basically keep us pitted against each other. And Angeling is right. He says it's all guessing and presuppositions. The world relies on it for the confusion. And they're basically creating this confusion and the lies, you know, to control the populations, to control humanity for their own agenda. If you found out something, and let's say you're a little off track here in your mind, let's say you have a greed gene, you know, not that I believe in the genes, but a greed gene, you know, or an evil gene, or you determined to sell your soul to the devil, as many people have, and you found out or were given a bit of information that would give you power over all, okay, you're that type of person, well, you're going to say, yeah, sure, I'll take it, regardless of the consequences on the rest of humanity. Well, this is what has happened. You know, I mean, so this is what I'm looking at. All this stuff, flat earth, round earth, you know, whatever, Noah's flood, the 6,000 years or whatever, whatever you want to call it, Darwin's theory. I ain't no monkey.
I ain't no monkey either.
So all this stuff is to keep us crazy and pitted against each other and fighting and arguing and...
It's working.
It's working and displaying ourselves. And now you have the political arena. It's all linked. I realized that everything, and this is pretty mind-blowing, Shazuz, I've come to realize that every piece of what we know throughout history that has occurred is linked, that has its story linked for a deliberate agenda. It's all connected.
That's what I feel like, too. I feel like every single bit of this, even when you actually get steered towards a different direction, that you were deliberately steered in a certain direction, you know, by whatever powers that be that wanted you to do whatever task. You know, even to the extent of what, when you talk about all these different people who went out and did all these supposed shootings or whatever, somebody steered them to do that. I mean, they could have stopped a lot of different episodes according to all the information given to us, which even that portion could have been an intentional. Make it look like they could have stopped it and even opened up one more new conspiracy theory. You know, the government, 9/11, all these different things, all the information put out there. So the crazy part is, how do you trust any bit of information in a world that has run so incredibly amok if you don't have that little power inside you, that discernment that says, hold on, this just doesn't look right? You know, we're able to watch mainstream media. We could tell they're lying because they've been doing it for so long. They're blatantly obvious about it. And even to the extent of the government. The government's sitting there lying to each other. They're, and all this kind of stuff. But how do we know we're not even, at this point, being manipulated into believing certain things or not?
Well, here's one for you. So, Aunt James says, humans share over 90% of their DNA with their primate cousins. Well, guess what? Who did that study? What authority did that study? And to me, it's bull poopy, because I have learned that these authorities are doing these studies and coming out and giving us information to keep us confused and believing that we're a bunch of monkeys.
Yeah, I'm not a monkey.
I'm just saying, I don't believe these studies. If this authority said that, this scientific study said that, NASA said this, the government said this, the priest said this, the Pope said this. Come on, people.
Yeah, at this stage of the game. At this stage in the game, everything that has ever been taught in school or science and all that is questionable, and that's one of the things that I stress on Mad Science. I don't believe that the laws of physics are written in stone. I don't believe that everything's written in stone, or anything for that matter, and if any book is questionable, all books are questionable, especially if you use the phrase that because they were written by man, that they could be flawed. Well, if that's the case, then I question all books. I question all history, and I'm going to continue to question.
We have to.
Yeah.
Today, we have to do that. I mean, listen, there's the Elders of Zion protocols. Within there, they talk about Darwin. Basically, Darwin's theory, they discuss Darwin's theory in that was a perfect ploy, set up perfect ploy, to basically, you know, to tell us this is where we come from. We come from monkeys.
Yeah,
you know?
Even Darwin questioned his own writings and theories.
Hello? Yes, yeah. He did. Yes, he did. So anything that an authority tells you is factual. Listen, just like we were told, right, that we were nutcases because there is no such thing as chemtrails, but guess what? They've been spraying us in the skies with various things for more than 30 years, and now they're actually coming out with a Harvard scientist, Keith, I can't remember his full name. I was in contact with him because I became so irate, because he has proposed and is actually going forward to actually, guess what, spray the skies and cover the skies with a shield to protect the Earth from global warming, from the sun's rays. And guess what's in the spray? Guess what's in the shield? The same thing that they've been spraying us with. And now it's okay because he's a Harvard professor, and now it's going to save the world. You know, this is, but now, so it's okay now. You know, we're basically, you know, we're the nutcases, but he's okay because he's getting funded to spray, to do his study, to spray the world with a shield that consists in that spray of the same thing in chemtrails. Now, you're going to, I'm just saying, this is why we have to do the studies on what is really going on and why I don't believe in the authorities. You know, we've been duped by the authorities. What is an authority, Shizzes? What makes an authority? How does a person become an authority?
I don't know, but I don't trust authority. I've been seeing, you know, observation is the key to science. You observe, you test, you retest. And when you're watching and authorities are running amok doing things that they're, you know, obligated to not do, you know, they're like the Constitution. They all swear an oath to the Constitution, but they all violate the same doggone oath that they swore right there in front of you. And, you
well,
know.
The authorities wrote the book, my dear. The book. All the books. All
yeah,
the books
I get
are
it.
Written. Yeah.
People at the top. They don't go to jail like you and I would go to jail. They get excused for some reason. And so, you know, proof is in the pudding. When you're sitting there watching and you're seeing contradictory information as opposed to what you're actually being told and all that kind of stuff over and over and over again, how many times you're going to get called a conspiracy theorist? And then turn around and find out that exactly what they said, that we were saying that they were doing, they really were doing. And now it's all right. Now, you know, nobody came back and said, hey, look, I'm sorry I called you conspiracy theorists. I guess you was right. No, they don't. We're still conspiracy theorists because we've moved on to the next deal. Like right now, when they're spraying that crud, they're killing the trees. They're killing plants. They're killing bees. They're doing. When birds start dropping from the sky, it ceases to be a conspiracy anymore. When they
it's
don't,
not normal.
Yeah.
It's not normal, but they make it normal. And well, so you go, oh, it's normal now. It's okay.
When they drop crud in the river and tell the indigenous people down the way, oh, don't worry, just wait for the crud to float by and you can start drinking the water again. What? Are you serious? And that was the EPA that did that. The EPA,
well,
EPA's the one that busted the hole in the mine and that caused that water to go flooding down the river. You know,
well, the authorities have built the dams. The authorities have written the books. The authorities have set up the education system, the religious system, the political system, the financial system. I didn't set it up, did you?
No, I didn't even have a vote in it.
Did your mom or your papa, anybody out there, did your somebody out there set up whatever is going on here, what rules us, overrules us, what controls us? Did any of you people out there, any of your people did that?
I didn't even have a vote in it. I didn't.
You know why? Because we're not in that club. It's the authorities club. It's the elite club. These are the ones that stepped on your face, on your grandma's face, your grandpa's face, your relative's face to get to the top of the pyramid. They become the authorities. They set the rules.
Yep.
They set the guidelines for humanity. Do you think these are good people? I don't think so.
Had I have been informed about, you know, what a birth certificate was or a driver's license or a social security number back in the day, do you think I would have opted into that? No. It was opted for me.
I mean, think of that. Think of our parents, our grandparents, you know, willingly doing this. You know, given our lives away to the government through birth certificates and all this stuff, they would never do that. But nobody, you know, the lies is what put us into these places. I did it for my sons. I didn't know. Now I know. Now I know what's behind these laws, these rules, these certificates, and so on.
Yeah, and,
so that's the authorities.
And then to try to get out of that system is nearly impossible. They've made it so incredibly labor-intensive, paperwork-wise, red tape or whatever, that if you decide you want to try to opt out of all these different programs, man, you got your work cut out for you. And the way that society has, basically, everything is intertwined. All your information is documented on digital cyberspace, on paperwork.
Well, are we crazy yet?
Well,
are we crazy?
I think we're justified for being so.
Are we crazy? Are we insane yet? Think about it. You can't be accepted as a human being that you were born unless you have a birth certificate. Think of that. You
yeah.
can stand there, you could be talking, you could have a life, you could have a family, you could have children. But if you don't have a birth certificate, you're not acceptable as being born.
Yeah.
You don't exist in the eyes of the authority. Wow. And I mean, even, think of that.
Even to the extent of the value of life. The value of life has been, there's actually, if you get out there and Google it, you'll find that a person's life is worth so much money or whatever. But the actual value of life, as far as a human to human, I value every life that exists, is gone down the hill. I mean, when you talk about things like, abortion from any stage all the way up, it's not looked upon as something that, you know, is a serious deal. It's more like, you know, I'm at a loss for words to try to explain this the way that I want to say it, but it's commonplace things that people don't look at it in depth, like, how serious is this? When you're talking about selling body parts of babies, or even selling somebody's kidney on the black market, or, you know, going to war and calling somebody collateral damage because they just so happen to be in the same neighborhood as a supposed terrorist, something's really not right about that.
The word collateral damage makes it easier for people to accept these atrocities and genocide, don't you know?
Yeah, but it's to me, with my eyes wide open and my heart wide open and looking out at this thing right here, to me, it's worse than an atrocity. It's an abomination to everything that is good. You know, to go out there and take somebody else's life for any reason whatsoever. You know, some people can justify it. Oh, they was a terrible, terrible person, and I had to do this. Well, I don't know whether you had to do that or not. I really don't know the person, you know, or the circumstances. And with the information being scattered out the way it is at us right now, we're being bombarded from every different direction with keywords and phrases and clickbait and all this kind of stuff. And our cell phones and all our information and everything we do and say is being recorded and being distributed around. You get on the doggone internet, look up anything, go watch your TV, you'll find advertisements for it. Vice versa, what you watch on TV, you'll get on the internet. And sometimes it's just as simple as you're having a private conversation with somebody any given space, and then you get on the internet, and doggone it, there's an advertisement on YouTube for something that you just talked about that you didn't search up. So how's all that? You know, are we stuck in some sort of matrix?
Well, there's a lot of coinky things going on in the world.
Yeah. So how's a person not supposed to go crazy? That's the whole deal. I want to know the true history of humanity. I want to know whether there is or isn't a real God. You know, I honestly believe there's a creator. And I don't even know what to even call the creator, because all I've got is information that has been provided to me. I don't believe that any of this is an accident.
I think you've had your own experiences. You see, this is what we have to rely upon. You have your own personal connection.
Yeah.
And you don't abide by anyone else's telling you this or that. You know, I mean, that's the way I am. I've had my own personal experiences. I don't abide by any authority telling me this is true, this is real, this is not. I don't go in that direction.
Well, see, that's what makes you and I dangerous to the system, right there. That makes you and I dangerous to the system, because we're not buying the bull that they're slinging. Seriously, it doesn't matter. I don't care. You show me a history book, put it down in front of me, and when I read that history book, if there's anything that doesn't seem right in that history book, I'm going to question it. Seriously. I'm going to say, I don't care who is the authority that wrote this book. Something doesn't jive here. I need an explanation before I'm to determine whether or not you're sitting here showing me a lie. You see what I mean?
Well, they set it up a long time ago, the authoritarian system, basically to control everybody, what they believe or what they don't believe. So this is what we're dealing with. And if people are still believing in the authorities that we see basically controlling the media, the authorities that we see basically controlling the political party, the education party, you know, the financial and the priesthood, okay, if you people are still in there, stuck in that matrix, well, you know, I don't know what to say. But just recently, you you know, we've been looking at this wave of most recent pedophilia in the church, and just the other day, the New York Diocese just named 200 to 300 priests in the New York Diocese that has been, you know, harming children. And the bishop of the New York Diocese is crying, asking for forgiveness. Okay, you know, well, I'm sorry. I just can't say, okay, it's okay, I forgive you for, you know.
No,
actually,
to me, that's unforgivable.
It is unforgivable, and you know what? These men, so-called men of God, really get my ire up, because that's one of the biggest authoritarian clubs in the world. A controlled faction of evil, in my estimation. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't some good people sprinkled here and there, because there always is.
Barry's ready to join us. I'm going to throw him in the chat.
Okay. The same way with the political arena. Some good people, but the ones that really control all systems are the authorities who have basically, I'm going to say, sold their souls to the devil and have an agenda. Hi, Barry. Where are you? Oh,
I think there he is. How you doing, Barry?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
How are you doing? Good show.
Good. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I've been listening. I just got my coffee, and you can't function without that caffeine. I guess that's an addiction most of us have, but it seems to get the brain working.
Well, you know, if you drink coffee, you're going crazy.
You know what? Just enjoy it. Don't say you're addicted. Just enjoy it.
Okay? I'm enjoying my addiction, okay?
Yeah. There you go. Enjoy your addictions.
You know that sign?
Put an outer on yourself.
You know that sign, Barry, says gone fish and be back later? Well, today we've gone crazy. We'll be back later.
Well, I went crazy a long time ago, but I think we're all a little wackadoodle, aren't we?
So there's no.
I love that expression, Barb. I use that all the time now. Thanks for giving that one to me.
Oh,
I do.
Good.
I use it all the time. It describes us very well.
There's no live radio show. This is only a podcast. It's a test.
We're actually three artificial intelligence.
Yeah,
there.
We don't exist.
I am a robot.
We've been
cloned. You got to click that I am not a robot, so I'm getting used to that, man.
Yeah, I hate that. And they put these numbers up there, they're all crooked and everything. I already have problems reading with my glasses anyway. And then you're supposed to look at these doggone things and type in the right deals just so that you can say that I'm not a robot and be able to get your message through. That's insane.
Boy, I'll tell you, Ontario is about to get absolutely hammered. A dam broke. I was just reading the link. Mike Zahern's going to join us here in about 20 minutes. He lives in Ontario, and boy, I'll tell you, a dam gave way in northern Ontario last night. One bridge that he talks about, I actually know where that bridge is. Normally, the water's about 70 feet below that bridge, and
wow.
It's just below, 2 feet below the bridge right now.
Wow.
Never seen levels like this before. They're talking 1,000-year flood event going to be happening because of the amount of rain that's going to hit them in the next couple of days, the amount of runoff that's happening right now. A lot of people are telling us that some events they're seeing right now, it's really hard to get all the information, but I've been following a lot of links here in the last day or so, and they're talking 1,000-year flood events in Ontario, stuff they've never seen before. We're seeing it happen in Iran right now. They're getting 1,000-year flood events. Seems to be happening all over the world. There's a cyclone hitting South Africa right now that is absolutely, they're telling us that just decimating it over there. We're not hearing about a lot of this stuff, but incredible amount of flooding going on right now, guys.
That's terrible.
And seems to be getting better.
Well, when your friend shows up, give him the speech, because I want to put the podcast up without having to edit out the bleeps.
Mike's pretty good that way.
That's good.
I'll make sure that the F-bombs don't get dropped. I always tell people that some once in a while we get on the air and somebody drops it, but
we're trying to be polite to people. Anyway, so, you know, we're trying to basically sort out, it's almost impossible to find the truth in today's, I don't know whether you want to call it mainstream media, alternative media. You gotta be on your toes when you're looking for information. And it's just, buzzwords, keywords, clickbait, and all kinds of craziness. And how you supposed to sort through all that? You know, that's why when I woke up this morning, I almost didn't wake up, Barry. I set my alarm clock, but I forgot that the day before, during yesterday's Mad Science show, I turned off the audio on my phone so that it wouldn't interfere with the show. Forgot to turn it back on, so all my phone did was buzz, and it didn't play the doggone music, and so I almost didn't make it here today.
Well, you're here.
Yeah.
I got up. I actually got out of bed at 6 o'clock this morning. That's a record for me for a Sunday morning.
Cool.
But, yeah, well, it still takes me an hour to get my head going, but, yeah.
So there's all kinds of things going on out there in the news world. You know, somebody put a video out, said massive military movement in California. There's all kinds of different political feuds going on. People, protesting, whatever, and man, I tell you what, this world is never boring. How could you ever get boring in a world that is this insane?
It's pretty hard to keep up with all the events that are going on, to be quite honest. One of the things I am following is the salmon numbers for the West Coast here. The Columbia River, I've been studying the numbers down there, and the Copper River in Oregon, I've been studying those numbers. Boy, I'll tell you, people are really going to wake up here quick to what's going on in that Pacific Ocean right now, because the numbers are really, really dropping, especially in the Columbia River.
Well, you think that would get attention, and that people would really seriously want to try to pull together and start cleaning things up and working on things and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's actually a place, I think it's in Iceland or something like that, where they got this massive cave, supposedly, that they've been storing all different types of seeds and food.
Yeah, seed bank.
Yeah. So, what are they planning for?
Well, they obviously know they're going to need them in the future, right? So they're putting them away.
So they know that the world's in jeopardy, and just in case of just such emergency as the idiots blow it all up, then we might need to replant and repopulate. It's like, man, what? There's people out there, like even Bill Gates, talking about depopulating the planet, and you know, all the wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famine. Do you think that this world somehow or another is getting ready to go through a massive reset?
Absolutely. We all know that's coming. It just is. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we know that something's in the air. I know that something's in the air. I know Barbara feels the same way, that we know something's coming.
Is there any way to avoid
it? We're not putting our finger on it exactly, but we know it's coming.
Is there any way to avoid it?
I don't, you know, myself, Susan, I don't, you know, I have to go by what I believe in my life, and that's just what my foundation right now is my faith, and I read what's coming, and I've said this many times, you know, like it or not, I believe in prophecy, and prophecy tells me what's coming, prophecy tells me what's happened in the past, it tells me what's going on right now, and it tells me what's coming in the future, so I kind of got to go by that. And yep, myself, it's really just your own connection right now is the most important thing. Because a lot of things we can't control. A lot of things we're not going to be able to stop. As much as we want to, we're up against a monumental event going on right now.
Oh,
and I don't believe any of us can stop that. Huh? But that's just my opinion.
I'm going to step in right now. It's good to hear you, Barry. Yeah, I mean, I agree. There's things that we were very well aware of. We see things rising and escalating and shifting and changing, and yeah, the weather patterns. I mean, I happen to get looking at these YouTubes about the weather in the world, weather, you know, phenomenon of weather stuff in the world just a couple of days ago, happening like in the moment, and I was shocked. I was like, holy mackerel. We don't have any idea what's going on. I mean, unprecedented flooding, unprecedented cyclones and hurricanes, and I mean, all
flat
kinds
winds.
Of things. I can't even. And I was just like looking at one after the other, happened simultaneously in different parts of the world that we're not aware of, you know. And it's pretty. Yeah, things are happening, things are shifting, and things are changing. And you know me, I say prophecy is not written in stone. I think it's warnings. I do believe prophecy does occur, but I also feel that it's a warning to us. I feel that we can that it's sort of like a warning to us about, okay, how are we going to deal with what is unfolding? Instead of being, you know, gobsmacked and not know what the heck is happening. It's like, to me, it's like self-preparation, self-preservation, and to me, that's our spiritual foundation. So we're there on the same page, I believe, all three of us, in that. Now, I feel that there is a time in human history throughout millennia where what has been occurring that has become disharmonious, that has become out of balance, that has become dark, and you want to go to evil behaviors of, and so on, not only the assault upon the earth, the function and the basically resources of the earth and the assault upon that, but also the human behavior escalates, and we see this over history, to a point of insanity, pretty much. But, okay, insane is one thing, but harm and violence and greed and the abuses of humans, babies and children and so on, gets to a point where I think it makes logical sense to me. Something's going to collapse. It's sort of like this energy is rising. Energy is rising in that field of darkness. After a time, it's just got to explode. It's got to implode. It's got to collapse. It's sort of like the weight of that energy, of that dark, of that evil, and the minds of the people, and in the frequency of the earth and the experience here, has to go. It's got to, you know, it's like the rise and fall, the rise and fall. We've done this before how many times, you know? And so I look at that as the foundation of, spiritual foundation of morals, and everything is going downhill. Rapidly. So what's going to happen? Well, either we're going to have another war and kill ourselves with nuclear whatevers, or we're going to, you know, basically have some kind of a EMP explosive, brain explosive event, or we're just going to all get so sick as they are pushing this upon us. See, they are pushing a lot of this stuff upon us, Barry. Are they fulfilling the prophecy that was written by those that are the authorities? This is where I'm tending towards, because we create our own reality. Are you with me on that?
I'm listening to what you're saying right now, Bart.
I'm just asking, because here's the thing. We are part of the creation, and what we believe in, we manifest and create in our own reality. Like, you have your strength, your spiritual strength, and your foundation. Doesn't mean that you're ignorant to the bad stuff going on, because I'm the same. Okay, so as long as we keep our focus in that piece of the spiritual connectedness, that's what you will experience. And I believe that I'm the same way. So we create our own reality. We also are beings of energy and frequency, and we can also support, you know, the shift in things, either positively or, yes, negatively. But there's something greater, and I think this is what we're looking at right now. There's something greater going on here that, okay, so that no matter how much we pray, no matter how much we hold the light, no matter how much we love and are compassionate and so on, whatever needs to happen, I think, in this moment in time is going to happen. And I'm not in control of that. That's Creator's plan, Great Spirit's plan, God's plan. That's the plan that I have no control over. So I hold myself in that, I guess, in that arena of hope and light and prayer and gratitude, because that's what I want to link myself with. I know there's something far greater at work here, and it's completely out of my control, your control, and all human control on that level. But I do believe we have some abilities to shift things, even if it's within our own family, even if within it's our own little universe. If we are loving and compassionate and caring, that's what our experience will be. I think that's
well,
what
you
I'm
know,
trying
we,
to say.
We're really going down the hole when we see the Church of Satan now being recognized as a religion and tax exempt in the United States of America.
I know.
That just kind of really shocked me, but, and it doesn't, because stuff I see unfolding. Barb, I know we don't share opinions on a lot of things, but we do share opinions on a lot. And, you know, me, myself, I have looked at prophecy over the years, and I'm not a scholar. I don't profess to be. But, myself, I've got to say to myself, well, if it's been written, this is what's going on, and it's telling me what's going to happen in the future, and I see everything that that's going on in my world right now correlating with what's being said, it just reaffirms my faith that, you know, I can't control what's going to happen. All I can do is control what's right around me and maybe affect people that are really close to me. But myself, I honestly believe we can't stop what's going to happen. I believe it's written and it's going to play out. And I do believe it's written in stone, Barb, but that's my opinion. And
you said just exactly what I said, except the written in stone piece. Here's again, I'm going to say the written in stone piece exists in creators' realm, not my realm.
Well, see, exactly.
I agree.
So we don't disagree on things. You keep saying that, and I don't see that at all.
Well, there's just a few things that we don't agree on, Barb, but basically we're on the same page.
I'm the forever optimist. I'm sitting here. I'm the one that the glass is half empty and it's half full. I mean, I just
I'm the one that there is no glass.
Yeah,
that's where I am.
So
there is no glass.
We got the best. We got the best of all worlds going on right here with the three of us because, you know, we all got difference of the way that we explained it, but like you said, we're all saying it pretty much the same way. I don't want to see these things unfold. I want to do whatever is in my power.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
I'm nobody.
I don't want to see it unfold. Barry doesn't want to see it unfold. You know what? It's not. It's in God's hands.
Well, I believe that. I believe that, but because of a certain few words that were spoken by Jesus in my faith. I believe that if we choose to do so, we can change the future events. I mean, it's like seeing the writing on the wall. There's some.
Well, I believe that too. You see, here's where we are. I believe that possibility as well, and that's why I speak about the spiritual foundation and the power that we do have to change our experience and affect others, okay? Meanwhile, back up further, there's a bigger picture going on here, which is a creator, that you call God, I call Great Spirit, okay, that has the final say, period. No matter, so if it's meant to be, this is where I go, if it's meant to be that the one creator, the one divine sacred creator of all this determines, okay, this has to go, that's how it's going to be. But my personal experience will be of being in that light, being in that compassion, and being in that love. That's my spiritual foundation.
Yeah.
And that's creating our reality in that moment.
I don't disagree with none of that either, but like I was saying, I'm probably going to be the last man on the battlefield saying, can't we all just get along? But my
as you're sinking into the mind of the dark. That's cool.
I recognize that by myself, I'm just one gear in the machine. I'm just one piece of the puzzle, one tiny piece of the puzzle. And I guess I'm trying to use the power of my voice to reach out and lobby others to want to be a part of that puzzle too, because they're a unique piece that I can't do things without them. They have skills, they have talents, and I know that together we can do amazing things. Like you bring a whole group of really crafty individuals together and they can build a really beautiful house. Where one man might be able to do a fair job, these group of talented, they do an immaculate job. So I'm thinking, if there's any way possible that my words, because Jesus said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could speak to the mountain and you could tell it to move and it would surely move. Now, according to me, Jesus ain't a liar. All right, my God's not a liar. But nonetheless,
it doesn't mean, okay, I hear you, and I get the mustard seed piece, and I totally believe that, yes, if you had that faith, you could move a mountain. It doesn't mean that the rest of the world is going to fall apart.
Right.
I'm just saying, if that's what Creator wants. But now I'm going to tell you a story about the Kogi people. The Kogi are the ones who basically survived for 500 years hidden from the world. When the Spanish came, they disappeared. They held their laws of origins, their connectedness to the Mother Earth and the Great Spirit Creator for 500 years. Nothing changed them. So in 2009, they came out with information. I got the information, and they said that some of them believe. Now, these people live to be 100, 110, 109. These are those people, and they are holy people. They are in holding the balance of the harmony of the masculine and the feminine, the sacredness. This is their way. They commune with the beings. They commune with the holy ones in the realms. Okay, this is the level that these people are at. Now, they said some of them felt, with all the knowledge they have, this was in 2009, that it is too late, that we have gone beyond hope, and that they should just allow the hecatomb, which is the sacrifice, to occur, which means they're just going to stop their ceremonies and their praying that holds all things in harmony and balance, because like you, me, and Barry, we believe in prayer, and they believe in it too, and it does make a difference. I've seen miracles from prayer. So they determined, some of them, and then the others stepped in and said, but it's not up to us to determine if we've gone beyond hope. It is not up to us to determine that we should just stop and give up. That's up to the Creator.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Now, the rest of this, the rest of it, here's the rest that they said. What is up to us to do, is why we were put here, is to continue our sacred works, to continue our ceremonies, our prayers. That's what is up to us. That's what's up to me. That's up to you. And it's ultimately in Creator's hands. If Creator determines, it doesn't mean you stop praying, right? And I know you're not going to stop, you guys. It doesn't mean that you stop having hope, okay? As a human being, without hope, where are we going to be? But ultimately, it is up to the great Creator.
Yeah, I get
what's
that.
What's going to happen?
I get that. I'm just like I said.
So don't give up is what I'm saying.
Oh, I'm not.
No, I know you're not. But I'm saying, let's not go down the road of doom and gloom, because the Kogi didn't go down the road of doom and gloom. They were aware of the doom, the verging doom that we are headed in, but they got the message basically that, wait a second, we see this, it's real, but let's continue what we were put here for. Do not go down the doom and gloom road. Ultimately, it is up to create a great spirit, and that's where I stand.
Well, I still believe with everything that is me that we can fix it. We can fix it all, every last bit of it. I honestly believe that we can fix it.
Well, I believe that too, and here's the thing. The difference is that if we didn't believe that, we wouldn't have hope. And if we didn't believe that, we would just give up and jump off a bridge right now. Because it's so bad out there. Right, Barry?
Yeah, that's overwhelming. You know?
Yeah, I'm just reading in my Bible right now in reference to a few quotes put into chat there about Jeremiah 14, verse 11 and verse 14, and I don't see anything describing what's being described in chat there, so just want to check that in my Bible here.
Alrighty.
Well, either way, we're up against a behemoth or gargantuan giant of a darkness that is coming down in every direction and under every single thing under the sun, and it's coming against us. I honestly believe that we're in the biggest spiritual battle in the history of time right now to decide the fate of all of humanity.
Well, if you believe in the doom and gloom, I'm going to say this. Now, not that you're not aware. I'm not saying, okay, I'm aware of the bad stuff. I am aware of this, okay, as you guys are. Okay, but if I stepped into that realm of, okay, it's doom and gloom, and I'm throwing out hope and all that stuff, then I'm not trusting in my great spirit creator.
I'm not only trusting, I'm taking it to the extreme to say that because of some words that were spoken, that we have the power, we have the choice whether or not to fix this. But the problem is that most people haven't figured out to this point is that not one of us can do it by ourselves. It would take unity of biblical proportions or epic proportions in order to get everyone on the same page. Look, like example. All right, we find out tomorrow that there's this giant rock that's getting ready to hit the earth. Not enough to destroy it completely, but enough where it's going to take out everything and put us back into the Stone Age. We all know this. Some people would just go crazy and act foolish, and some people would prepare and build bunkers. But if we came together and did some sort of massive work together, we could try to save as many of us as possible and preserve as much of our history and our cultures as possible. We could do that. We would do that under those circumstances.
Well, you're talking about a collective experience.
Yeah.
You're saying that we need everybody for this experience, for this thing to happen. Well, I kind of agree on that, but it's not necessarily so. It may never be a collective experience. There may be not enough people, but your experience, your personal experience, and your little universe with your family and the people that are there with you, they will have that experience, you see.
Yeah.
So you can't, so here's where I'm saying, if I'm spending a lot of time focusing on the collective amount of people that we need for this to happen, that's, to me, that's like a waste of time. Because, you know, frankly, there are some people out there that are not going to join the collective. They're just lost. They're not going to. They don't believe it or they don't want to, whatever it is. So I'm just saying that in my understanding, if I believe and have hope and what you're talking about and moving mountains and shifting and changing things during this apocalypse, if you want to call it that, my personal experience, I'm holding on to that, will be different. Now, if there's going to be people along there with me, you guys, I hope, that's going to be our little collective, okay? If there's other people that are going to join that frequency, that energy, then the collective grows, okay? But so that's a personal choice. That's for everybody's on their own spiritual journey here. Everyone is going to participate in however they were guided to,
yep.
You know?
Well,
that's
like,
how I feel.
Like
but
I
don't
say,
I guess I'm saying, don't say it's not going to happen if we don't get a collective amount of people. Because it will happen for you if you hold that. It will happen for me if I hold that and Barry holds it. This is what I'm talking about. So I'm not focused on the amount of people we need for this shift. I don't think that that's how it's going to work. I think it's going to work in your experience. If you hold it, it will work.
You may very well be right. I want to help. I want to be a part in helping to solve hunger in the world. I want to solve that because there's no reason with everything we've been given that people are hungry. I want to be one of the people helping to solve homelessness in this world because I believe if somebody needs a home, that they should be able to have a home. I want to be part of stopping the wars and the craziness and all that. But I know I'm just one tiny piece of the puzzle, but my spirit, it will not stop because the book said no man knows the time or the day, that he'd come like a thief in the night. So we, even if doomsday is inevitable, even if we are heading down that road, I am not going to stop trying to make this world better until it is completely over, until the last whatever falls. I had a dream one time, a vision or whatever. I sat there and I sat on the edge of the earth as I watched the very last ray of sunlight come into this world, and everything just went completely dark. And the words that came out of my mouth after seeing everything that I saw, everything that we had been given, was simple. The words that came out of my mouth was, what a waste. What a complete and utter waste. We had been given so much. This is a beautiful world that we live in. It is so amazing. Creation, the great creator of this world that we live in, was the best of every artist, every singer, songwriter, best of best. The complete best. And because so if you can't look out there in your yard, in your world that you live in, and you can't find beauty, and if you can't find magnificence in something of nature, then your eyes are closed to reality. It's mankind that causes all this craziness. It's not, you know, it's not something that you can blame on, you know, a higher power, even to the extent of the doggone governments out there. We allow these governments to do to us what they do. We don't have to. But what it all boils down to for me in my heart is that if we ever chose to do so, we could resolve every single issue out there. We have the science, we have the technology, we have the vast sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips, and if we take and choose to use that properly, we know there's this big old disaster coming down the road. We can get our people out of harm's way. We can protect them. We can even build future structures that would withstand the worst possible scenario that nature would have to throw at you. And we can save those people. You see what I'm trying to say here? I'm not by any means giving up. I'm not naive enough to believe that we will be able to overcome what is believed to be written in stone. But I'm saying that from right now till the day that the lights go out, I'm going to keep on doing everything I can to try to use the power of my words to reach out and plant seeds of hope, and we can fix this. I really honestly believe that if we ever choose to do so, we have the power within us to fix every single problem that we've got out there. The only issue that I see that we can't seem to get by is the actual person, the actual human, has to want to fix this world. Otherwise, we're on our way down the road. We're on a roller coaster of craziness. It's just never going to end. And it just tears me up to think. You know, it seems like sometimes you would say nobody cares.
Welcome to the show there. Mike Treherne has joined us. How are you doing, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing really well. I was just listening into that 100% degree. Thanks for having me on. Should I speak or is it like my turn?
Go ahead. We'd love to hear your thoughts.
I just wanted to say that this is the second time I've been on, and you know, you're absolutely correct. I just have this question when I listen to all of that, because I'm very in touch with what you're saying, and we see a destruction of populace of people who care, and we want to destroy then repair. Do you think maybe possibly that we would hit the realm of, you know, almost destruction, and we would then put these ground effects into play? And do you, your topic as well, a second part question of, the governments don't care. Yes, we know that, because we here, even in Canada, in Alberta, are trying to change a system of hemp and have designed many machines that run on a hemp and power that comes from no power source through plant, and using barks of hemp to turn to cotton. And there's a machine that does everything that way, that could be a plant that would actually replace the effectiveness of the revenues to our province than oil would. And I think that all of those things that are being said, that if we have every technology in the world to overcome any redundant system we've ever used, and certainly you know, have a better quality of life against it, and yes, defend the disasters that may be coming upon us with volcanoes and you know, tectonic plates and slippage and dikes and water and all of those things, and we could withstand that, and we could be preparing for that, but we don't. And I too will never give up, Barry. I think we know each other well enough that I would never give up, and not when it comes to that end of a discussion. The governments know, but they don't want to assist. We, you know, when we talk that the world can't sustain more than, say, 16 billion people, the growth of food and everything else could never be, you know, quick enough, we could never develop fast enough. But we can, actually. And that's just a statement. And once it was thrown at me, and I believed it, and then when I looked and I went, well, no, that's not true. That's not true at all. So, I agree 100% with what you say when you get on your roll. Every single part of it makes so much sense. And I've been called crazy because I speak that way by people. And they look at you like you're a lunatic.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Well, you're on the right show because we're all crazy, so.
Yeah, yeah, that's, I guess actually, we're nuts. Actually, that's what today's show's all about. Gone crazy, be back later.
I love it. Anyway, that was my little spew, but let's hear some comments on that, because I don't know what it is we got to do, but we got to figure out something to do as a populace, as a public.
Well, I'm just, like I said, I'm the forever optimist. It ain't over, and I'm not by any means a doomsdayer. I do see the writing on the wall. We got some serious issues that if we come together and address, we could resolve all this. You know, right now you're talking about hemp. I sit there and I tell people on Mad Science that there is absolutely no such thing as fossil fuel. That You know, that sounds crazy to people who study science, but in reality, we live in a carbon-based world, and so hemp itself is what they would call fossil fuel. You can make oil out of hemp, all right? And so if you wanted to make a biodiesel type of deal, you could make it out of hemp. But
well, hemp also gets rid of excess carbon by itself and creates its own electricity. It has seven different qualities from the wet plant to zero. And I seen them in this prototype machine just last week take 70 percentile tested by the government protein out of the plant, and it separates it all at the same time through. There's a secret sauce to it. I kind of signed a piece of paper that I wouldn't say it, but it is amazing. It takes a wet plant of canola through dryers and different systems in 3 minutes and makes 100% cotton and 70% protein in its first shot.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's amazing.
Unbelievable, isn't that, Mike? I saw that report.
It's an amazing plant, but the power structure, we're under the petrodollar right now, so they have to perpetrate the myth that we're going to, they said we've already used up 40% of all the Earth's resources as far as oil goes, and that by 2050 that we will run completely out of oil, which is not even physically possible, but, you know, and I would hope we did, because then we could stop all the wars over oil. But The real science of it is that we can make oil in the lab. We can make coal in the lab. We got the technology to do all this. So there is no energy crisis. There never has been one. But we've allowed power structures to create something such as the petrol dollar that, you know, there's a lot of blood on that petrol dollar. And that system is embedded itself into every structure of every community of every single nation under the sun. And the only people in the world who have the power in order to stop all this madness is we, the people. But we have been so incredibly indoctrinated and pitted against one another. We sit around and argue about insignificant things all the time, about the red versus blue, left versus right paradigm, two sides of the same coin, and they still come out the other end, and they're still in charge. When's the time whenever people's going to start realizing, hey, you've been played like a banjo, and if you get together with your brothers and sisters in your community, you can start locally, and you can start to build an infrastructure in your community using all these technologies to your advantage. And when the neighbors over there look and see how well you're doing, they're going to come over and ask you, hey, how you doing that? You know? And then that's how you spread that out. So we don't even have to go up against the monster in order to defeat the monster. We just need to stop feeding it.
Exactly. The largest 100%. Oil reserve in the world is in the United States of America, folks, and it hasn't even been tapped into yet.
Yeah.
So we'll never run out of oil. That's a crock of crap. We know that.
Yeah, it's physically impossible. Until this planet stops doing what it has been doing since the dawn of time, it is physically impossible for us to ever, ever run out of anything. And that's including water. And people will argue with me and they'll say, well, that's drinking water, you idiot. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You go over to Dubai, and they got huge desalination plants. They not only built the land that they're standing on, but they built the skyscrapers, and they pump water all the way up to these huge skyscrapers. They use it for heating and cooling and plumbing, drinking and bathing and all that. So if those folks over there have the ingenuity to do something that amazing, if you're standing next to the water and you're dying of thirst, then you didn't pay attention in science class is what I'm saying. Because
Dubai beat the laws, and that's all built on sand, let's make everybody remember.
Yeah, I didn't say it was a great idea, but it was pretty
but it works.
Yeah, but my point is, however this earth got here, water is probably the miracle energy source. It's for our body, it's for everything. Water is the most stable molecule on the planet. It takes three things to start a fire. Do you guys know what that is? It takes an ignition source. It takes a fuel source. It takes a ignition fuel. What's the last one? Oxygen. All right.
Oxygen.
So,
was going to say oxygen.
All three of which.
Make a mistake.
All three of which is in that healing molecule that they call water. And no matter what you do to water, you can't destroy it. No matter what, you get a chemical reaction, you get a physical reaction when you separate that and recombine it, and it produces its own electricity, it produces its implosion and an explosion all at the same point, and then when it comes out and cools back down, guess what? It recombines.
Yep.
And you got water.
You're right.
That's science. That's proven fact. Try to destroy it. Well, you can get it dirty.
Well,
you can clean it up, too.
As you say, we're doing it with water, and we're doing it with plants right now. We have the technology right here now. Every single thing that we've been led to believe is completely untrue, and it's right here in front of us. Our technology, we are so advanced. I mean, we are so advanced that I think that the governments don't even know how to handle it, and it's hard to handle because most of it is self-sustaining.
Yeah, and that's another thing, renewables. Everything on this planet is renewable. It has been since the dawn of time. Nature recycles everything. It don't even matter. If you burn firewood, all you do is change the chemistry and the structure of it. The firewood still exists in its natural state, different elements, and it's put back into the earth, and the earth mixes it all up and recycles it and puts it back into the system. Well, it
grows a bunch more.
Yeah. So we got every single thing provided for us. Now all we got to do is figure out how it is that we're going to be able to get along long enough to basically, while we're standing at this crossroads where we have access to this extreme technology and knowledge, to either make the right choice or the wrong choice. The wrong choice is, bam, we destroy all of what they call civilization and humanity, and then somehow or another the earth mixes it all back up and it starts over again, you know. And I don't like that one deal. If Pete and Repeat's on a boat and Pete falls out, who'd be left? Because it's aggravating. So why continue to repeat the same exact mistakes over and over again? If we're standing here at the crossroads, now's the time for this Knights of the Round Table and that Knights of the Round Table to sit here and look at things logically. We did this way, it failed. Let's try it this way next time, and maybe we'll succeed.
You know, I look at a horse and a cow, and humans are very much like horses. And I was explaining this to some people over the last, several years, but a little bit in the last few weeks. You know, you put an electrical fence around a yard and a farm, and a horse will hit that electrical fence 100 times and be pissed off at it. A cow will walk up to it, hit it once, and never touch that fence again.
Yeah. I'm just like, I know that the odds of us being able to get everybody to agree on at least one thing is we are tired of the structure as it stands. And what are we going to do about it? Now, we know we could go to war against our own nations and we could try to overthrow our governments, but the next one that comes in line is probably going to be worse than the last one, and so some people are satisfied where you're at. Well, I know it's kind of rough, but hey, at least I got my lights on, I got a job, my kids have food and school and all this kind of stuff, but I think you could get better if you stop trying to rely on Big Daddy or Big Mama government to do something that you right now have the information and the knowledge and the know-how and the numbers. If you think about this, everyone who works anywhere, they are the ones who have built everything that we're standing on. And if you could get that everyone who works anywhere past the mindset, well, I'm too busy, I got to work, I don't feel good, or whatever, get them past that, and we got it made. That's it. Because you got everybody, you got the tools, you got the technology, you got the manpower. There ain't nothing that we couldn't accomplish if we chose to do so. That's the big if. Can we get anybody?
Well, how do you get the sheeple to embrace that kind of attitude, though? She says, I mean, I see people just in their matrix every day. They don't seem to care.
Well, first they got to get the message.
When it all changes and starts to collapse, then they'll care because it's going to directly affect them. But at that point, it's going to be too late. So,
I think this. I was speaking with a bunch of people, and I have a big meeting with a bunch of people that are doing things of this nature, water, plants, really smart people. And they're saying, you know, we can go to the government and show them, and we can change things, and we can do it all. And the consensus of this meeting is going to be, and we'd like to get this out on the air, we're in an I want to see it community. We live in I want to see.
Yeah.
So if the governments won't help you to do, then what we have to do is put it into progress by ourselves.
That's it.
And we just start doing it. And we start doing it until the government come to us. And by then, we're too strong already.
That's
so we
right.
get to develop, we get to move on, and those who want to live in that style of life, those businesses will come on to you, because with what happens in our taxation world and our governments and the depletion of society who doesn't allow it to get to this point, and that's their whole plan, and they've always been that way, and like you say, they turn it into a monster, you know, when it's a kitten, but and they do that through fear. So
yep.
if we just, you know, stand on the guard, and I liked what you said, and you've said it a few times in my life, and I feel the same way. If we read the carved stone and we stand up and just do things correctly, and we just do it, and we don't listen to what they have to say and make it none of their business, and as long as our companies pay our taxes, it shouldn't matter, should it?
That's right. Don't ask for permission. Just up and start building it. And it's like
right
that,
now.
That one doggone show, Build It and They Will Come. I actually put that somewhere on this website. But we don't need to ask for permission. And when the government steps in there and tries to get their piece of the pie, then we can straighten them out accordingly. But nonetheless, if you start off in your communities and you lead by example and you take all this technology, that's why I'm doing this bottle caps for mad science thing, because I got an idea to do with these bottle caps that I'm not telling anybody until I actually put it right out there. And when they see what I'm going to be doing with these bottle caps, it's going to blow their doors off. And
so I should save every bottle cap I have for now until you expose this information?
Yeah, exactly.
Done.
And if it can, be done with something as simple as a bottle cap, then there won't be anything in this world such as waste any longer, because people will realize something very valuable in that nature wastes absolutely nothing. Even
you know
can
what?
Recycle.
This machine that this guy does takes care of the, not only does it take care of all the plant life, the electricity, one of the seven things it does, it eliminates waste completely.
See? And I got friends that are working on things, technologies that are pretty well space age, that as long as they're kept in the hands of the people, where the people know they exist, you're going to see a future that's pretty amazing. But the whole thing is, The key to winning this game is you first got to know the rules. Right now, the rules of what they got going on are leaned in their favor. But the day that you take all this knowledge and you start using it,
make our own rules.
That's it. You write your own rules from that point on. And by the time it's all said and done, like you said earlier, we will be too powerful for them to do anything to us. There ain't going to be nothing that they can do.
We'd be too sophisticated for them to do anything, because we could protect ourselves.
Yep, that's it. And
there's nothing that could stop that.
We know enough about science and physics and stuff like that. We know what portions of science and physics are used to keep people dumbed down. And the folks that are able to look outside the box and see the reality, the truth of what's going on, you know, like when you guys talk about hempcrete, that's amazing. You know, you got a fireproof, healthy material that's strong, and, you know, it's not mainstream out there. But the key about all this is how you get the message out there to these people out there. You know, right now everybody's distracted. They're in a world of their own. You know, they're in their own little bubble, and they're, you know, they don't believe that they have any power. But they're wrong. They're wrong. They got more powerful than they think. Everybody on this earth has been given some sort of gift, whether they know they got it or not. And they don't recognize how powerful something as simple as their words. You can take one word, and depending on how you say that word, what tone you use when you use that word, it can have multiple different meanings. And so that in itself, wars have been started over words. So why couldn't peace, why couldn't a huge movement of peace be started with what we've said right here? We send out a ripple with everything, all these messages we send out there. And they're forever immortalized in digital cyberspace and podcasts that people can share with one another. And then if they can get that message, and if they want that message, they'll accept that message. If not, they'll move on to the next one. But nonetheless, it's still power because it still exists. We spoke it into existence. We want peace. We want hope and we want love. We want the homeless to be sheltered. We want the people that need clothing to have clothing. We want the people that are hungry to be fed. And we want these wars stopped.
And the threads of everything. There's big motion going on with clothing companies, and I can't say much about that either, but that's humongous, and it shows that they're coming up to the plate. And when we're off the air, how we present it, and we'll talk to some people, and we bring it back to the to the listening sector, because there's lots of things that we have to say. And I think that, you know, I love this show because it brings on people, and I'm sorry for the other guys not talking. I'll stop talking after a minute, but I think that together we should be on telephones and working together to bring it to the public on how a big assertion to those scientists out there that are afraid to even bring their discoveries forward. They're afraid, because they're afraid if they expose that information, they might not be healthy at the end of the day.
Well, it's been proven. And
they might be dead.
I wanted to
jump in. You guys, I'm listening to your conversation. Awesome conversation, as always.
Sorry, we get going sometimes.
Well, I get going too.
I know.
I'm just listening at this point. And
okay, you got 20 minutes. Lay on, man.
Uh oh. So I feel that we are already powerful. And this is where people are confused, is they don't realize the power that they have. They don't really understand that gift that we've all been given, the power within us, okay? And that is what they, the authorities, or whomever you want to charge with this nightmare, fear the most. They fear the power that was originally given to every one of us. And people have, of course, been duped and brainwashed to disbelieve the power that they have, you know. And so this is what we're talking about. Why are they bent on destroying humanity? You know, why are they bent on brainwashing us, telling us that we're powerless and we should be fearful and so on? You know, they want to keep us in that state, is a frequency, let me finish, which is a frequency, terror and doubt, disbelief, all these frequencies, okay, basically feed that dark entity. We're food. Basically, our emotions, our beliefs, our fears, even our words, depending on how, you know, what the level of frequency or where they are, negative or positive, feeds the dark and keeps that entity, those entities, those demonic entities, we keep feeding them. That's why they exist, and they want more, more, more. And we are the ones that are feeding this out-of-balance energy, this out-of-balance experience, this nightmare, through our words. That's a power that we have. We may now come to realize that we have this power and use it for the good of the whole. You know, focus on the light, the goodness, the compassion, the unity, the togetherness, the camaraderie, the brotherhood, sisterhood. That is a power that does not feed the dark. This is basically what I'm saying. So this has to come into play here, the power of our words, our intentions, our thoughts, and so on.
Can I just add one quick little thing, and then I'll stop right away?
Yeah, I'm done.
Do you think... No. Do you think, though, through that monotone level of destruction that they're laying upon us through those sounds and vibrations you're talking about, do you think now that possibly in the near future we start to communicate so well because through telepathy? And do you think that destroys the monotone because we don't speak? Is that a possibility?
Well, I'm going to say that I agree with you because originally we used that telepathy. We all were given that gift. This was not an uncommon way of speaking. I call it the mother tongue. The mother tongue basically was the first language. You know, it's not a spoken word. It's through the frequency of thought, okay, the frequency of sound. So the original people, you know, didn't have an actual language. To me, the English language that we speak, you know, is prescribed, you know, entity, energy, frequency, that is our spells, as many of us know that. So when we're speaking and saying things, like if you say the internet, the intern means you intern a body, a dead body. Net is something that you capture your prey in. So the word internet has a basically a dark meaning. And I'm sure you can come up with many of the words that we use today that have dark meanings behind them. So we're casting spells and we don't even know it, you know. So
very
I do,
intelligent. That's a very, you know, that was a very intelligent claim right there.
Well, I got
so
that.
So in other words, listen, what you're saying is...
Let me tell you where I received that from. Because I have the ability to communicate with spirit, great spirit, and I receive guidance, and I asked the universe, which is the great spirit's creation, and you can do this. Anyone can do this. I've done this since I was a child. You go out and you sit quietly upon the mother, okay, no interruptions, and you quiet yourself and you go into your heart and you communicate from your heart spirit to the universe. And the universe responds in kind to what your frequency is, which is my heart spirit. And I'm asking the universe, what does internet mean? Okay, because I was guided basically to find out what is going on with this technology, because I saw how people are completely owned and ruled and controlled by the internet. And I asked the universe, and the universe said to separate the words into intern net. What does it mean? And I was given that information. So it's not me. I received this from the universal creation. That's what creator. I received that information. That's how it came to me. And I share that because it makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Well, there's no other way it could happen.
This system that's out here right now, it's amazing that sometimes they say that they put messages in movies, and somebody pretty wise must be writing a few different movies. That one movie they call Bug's Life, I played that, and I will play it at the end of this show, but that little deal, a little clip where the grasshopper's telling everybody, when you want to figure out why these power structures do to us what they do and why we allow them to do this, if you listen to what that grasshopper said, he said those ants outnumber us 100 to 1, and the moment they figure that out, our way of life will change. And that's why these people out here who are in positions of power fear shows like this and people that talk like this, is because we're sitting here empowering each other to believe in one another and ourselves, and we outnumber the elitists, if not thousands, maybe possibly millions to one.
Well, do you guys know the study that was done years ago, or maybe there's other studies like this? I was listening to a program on the radio about these people who determined to see if in fact telepathically they could affect things in the world with prayer and focusing on love and peace and so on. And for 4 years they did this study where they all got together in different parts of the world at the same time, and they would sit down together, you know, in different parts of the world, and they would focus on love and peace and harmony and balance in a meditation. And then they did research on what was going on in these major cities during the time of their meditation and their focus. And they discovered over 4 years some miraculous things were happening. I mean, they realized that murders and violence were down, you know, emergencies were down, so on and so forth across the board. They noticed the drop in the darker things going on. And that's pretty powerful when you think about it, the collective focus that we have the power to really, and that's telepathy.
To change that energy.
Yeah.
That's such an unbelievable, beautiful thing, man.
It
doesn't just stop there, because if you go out there and you look up People Are Amazing on YouTube, you'll see videos of people doing some really incredible things. And,
inspiring.
You know, you might not be able to think you could do that something like that, but if you really sit back and think, you ever had a day like you was getting ready to throw something in the trash, you didn't feel like getting up there, and then just inadvertently you chuck it over towards the trash without even thinking about it, and it lands right in that trash? You know, I believe that there's things that you're capable of doing that if you're thinking about it, you're going to fail at it. Because if I turn around and I try to do it 10 times, 20 times after it, I couldn't hit it to save my soul. But
what I'm saying is that, the trash thing, I did that last night. I tossed something across the room and it went in and I go, yes! You know. What I'm saying is that we were all basically given this power. And those others know this is innate within us, but it has been dumbed down, trashed down, forgotten, or whatever, or doubted. You know, we disbelieve this kind of thing.
Or changed through science.
Changed through science, exactly.
The bad guys in science.
That's correct. So we were all given the ability, if we basically focus on peace and harmony. You see, and what I was told a long time ago by a creator was that, if you think about this, this makes sense to me. Everything, when creation was created, existed. Everything was created. There's not anything that we are creating really now, except troubles and so on and so forth. But the big creation, so peace was already created, okay? Harmony and balance was already, love and light and joy was already created, as is the opposite, of course, and we participate in either one of these. But if you align with the vibration, the frequency of love, okay, that elevates you, and you vibrate that out into the universe. So we have that ability to shift and change and affect all of creation, because creation mirrors us. Right? Creation mirrors us. That's how powerful we are. So what does media do? What does the cabal do? They have everybody focused on fear, terror, hate, divisiveness, and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So that's what
monotones.
So that's what everybody's creating, and the universe is mirroring that too. See? So
well, it mirrors all of us.
All of us, either positive or negative. But if you look at the ramping up of the violence and the negativity and the darkness and the evil. Okay, so that's sort of like tipping the scales here now into that. So because more and more people, now you have on the other side more and more people waking up. We say that too. So now we're like in a seesaw experience here, jockeying for position of harmony and balance. But so if we want to tip the scales more into the light and peace and harmony, our participation is really crucial.
Yep.
Well, people's connection, I believe, is getting stronger, although the numbers aren't what we'd like to see, that people's direction is getting very much stronger to that recently. There's people that before would never say God bless, and they're now all of a sudden in tune, and it's wonderful because you even see they're a different person. So I was going to tap on to in the garbage sector, just how you're saying with telepathy and how everything works and how the system goes and how the monotones work. In effect, it created languages, and not only did it do that, it created a source of accent in those very different languages based on a territorial strength of development and testing of every one of us. So that came through destruction and the dark side, as you would say. That came from the dark side, and they changed that. And yes, you're right. It is energy, and when we talk about the energy of this source that we're in, and what we do inside that energy source, we have the and like you say in the prayer, we have the ultimate, opportunity to come together and overpower it just in that alone. So. And react back through the energy to stop that monotone and disrupt it, cancel it, deflect it.
Correct.
Well, that's
so. You know, the thing that I find interesting, and I hope I didn't interrupt your continuing talk. Did you have more to say? Here's the thing that I find interesting, and why do you think this is? So when I say that love, and I really say unconditional love and joy and gratitude, let's say, are three of the highest frequencies that we could achieve. Okay. When I speak about love is the answer, not that I say that, but I'm sort of saying that love and joy and gratitude, these are the answers.
Conquers everything.
People go, ugh, love, blah, blah, blah. Okay, because, okay, why is that, that people cannot accept this power that we have for these things that we were given, that unconditional love, love and caring, compassion, and all these things actually can change the greater experience, not only your own, you know, immediately, but
everyone else around you.
That's right, because we are like the pebble in the pond, right? We throw, yes. Our frequency, our energy begins with us. We are that pebble. And the frequency that you emanate basically goes out in waves, because that's the energetic beings that we are, the frequencies that we are, goes out in waves and touches all things. Now, how all things accept it or work with it is basically in people's own hands. This is, again, we have to allow people on their own journey of life, right? But our intention is good, and it may touch, very well, it will touch, but it may affect someone in their own timing. This is how I look at this, right?
Well, it will divert it, yes.
That's why
it can divert it.
That's why.
Say that again?
He said it can divert it. That's why
yeah.
I believe in the power of these shows right here. That's why I believe that the shows like the Knights of the Round Table and other round tables that people get together and they speak these good things into existence with hope and love and everything like that. I honestly believe that while we're doing these shows, we're sending out those ripples that you talked about. And they are making a difference, because you see a lot more people showing up, all right? And then even if they ain't showing up, well, I know where they're at. They're out there listening in. You know, we get feedback from these people. But if it's not just this particular show alone, there's other people out there doing good things. So there's pockets of people out there really trying to make a difference. And I honestly believe that it's happening.
That's true, and that's why I call us the seed planters. We are seed planters. So what seeds?
That's our mission.
That's right.
That's our job.
Exactly. Either you're planting positive seeds or you're planting negative seeds. That's the power that we have. Everybody has that power. Everyone is significant here at this time.
We have to also not just discuss other the great things. Those people that are doing great things, we all need to be in touch with each other, because it's explosive.
Yep.
And you know, if we can just do that, and if we could get away from ego, and if we could get away from greed, and we could get away from, you know, some of the carved in stone, if you will, statements. We don't have to be perfect at it, but you know, we need to get at least 51% straight.
Uh huh.
So that would be imperfect. You know, 41% would be just selfish and insane, and you've fallen to the whims of the levels of energy that have been throwing at you. So it's hard when people of certain parts of the world hate themselves to want to love, and they don't realize what love is because it's not around them.
Right.
And family and those things in some people's worlds mean nothing.
Comes into play, yeah.
But it's supposed to be there in order for us to have the power to overcome that.
Well, this
we have to be
to
strong.
Me, well, we have to. Yeah, I mean, this to me is a school, a big school, and I feel no one was born with greed. I think that's a learned behavior,
or it's
a temptation from, you know, and or no one is born prejudiced, hating a dark person or a white person. Nobody.
No one's born that way.
You know, no. Well, you see children of different colors just loving each other and communicating with it. They're not in that state. That is learned behavior. So you have generations of learned behavior that is harming the spirit of children, that is crushing the spirit, the natural essence, the original essence of children. We've all experienced it. I experienced it. You know, but this is my parents' experience, my grandparents' experience. This is a training, a brainwashing, a system that wants to crush the spirit, the original essence and power and abilities that we all were born with. So this, to me, is a big school, and we're learning, and everyone is learning to graduate. Are we going to graduate this time?
There's a lot of amazing things being said in the chat rooms out there. It's too much for me to read, because I've got like a crooked eye, and I read crooked. So anyway, one of the things that Devin said in there, the ability to gift unconditional love is powerful, or power enough, and I keep saying that. I know you all feel the same way. Love is probably the most powerful tool that we have in our tool belt, so to speak.
And yeah, well, let's talk about unconditional love, because this is a big test, folks. This is the test. To love unconditionally, what does that feel like? How do we achieve that? Because that means there are no conditions, folks, but we are trained and brainwashed to want conditions by our fellow brothers and sisters. I have a condition. I will love you if you follow this and do that and give me this and so on, and if you don't, well, goodbye, I don't love you.
Yeah, that's,
and
it works. That's not good.
But this is what we're conditioned to. So loving unconditionally, of course, you have to basically, eliminate the ego that basically has all these systems set up. Humble yourself, be grateful, just be loving. You see, if you love yourself unconditionally, okay, then that's when you are able to love others unconditionally. So you have to check out your own mind, your own ego, and the monkey mind that tells you you're no good, you're not lovable, and you can't trust people. So there you go. How can you love others unconditionally without training and brainwashing? It's kind of difficult.
Well, now there's brainwashing in the book that's written too, because it's filled with love, and it's also filled with demonics, and that is the test, and it's how we read and who teaches. So, but there's
the interpretation. You mean, right?
Yes, but yeah. Yes, but the fewer things of that is there is no book, there is no story. There is no way other than us coming together and doing exactly what we just discussed. And if we can do that, we can overpower anything that we want. And having said that, showing that power, sustaining that power, and not turning it into the same thing after. Yes, repetition does happen. I believe that we're in the years of kind of, if you want to attach to it, maybe Sodom and Gomorrah. We're out of control. We failed again, but we failed in much larger ways this time. It was like we fell for the bait when they gave the instruction, and we preached that someone came to death for our community to make it better, and it ends with feast and famine and death and destruction. Well, hold on a minute. I don't know a father that would love to see that of its children. I don't know one father in this world, and I'm not isolating it against women, please, nobody take offense to what I'm saying, but the father would never want to see his children, that is, his relationship with his children, because the mother's relationship of actually developing and building this child from her body, It's our strongest attachment. I don't know anyone that would like to see that happen. So that's where this dark side slides into play. Yeah. And we just, you know, I do a thing from Nike the other day, and I'm looking at a t-shirt. And what brought it to mind was that was a message from actually maybe one of the nice guys in the elite, that we were going to come to this term and we were going to just do it. And we weren't going to listen to anybody else anymore, because we were just going to do it. And that is the most empowering, positive direction you can send. And it does many things. It employs people. It brings people, you know, into a different light, because you wake up happy because you're excited to get on with your day. Are these things too far-fetched? Nothing is too far-fetched.
No, I agree with you. The thing is about the internal self. The wisdom is within us. We were born with all the wisdom and the knowledge. We were given that. We were given the ways to live in harmony and balance. We were given the ways, really, when children are born, they love unconditionally. Children don't set up conditions to love. They just love unconditionally, and they're joyous. They're in awe of everything. They're in wonder of everything. They're explorers. They're adventurers. You know, they're creators. They create purple trees, you know, but when they get to school, the teacher says, "That you can't make a purple tree. There's no such thing."
You're a socialist.
There's no such thing as a purple tree. You must comply. You must comply to the rules. If you don't comply, you're ousted. You don't fit any longer into the system, and that's a terrible thing for a child. So early on, you learn to ignore and deny your own truths, your own essence, and you comply to fit in with society, because as a child, it's devastating when you don't fit in, when you're ostracized. It's devastating. Today, we're adults, it's not devastating, okay? It's not going to kill us like a child believes they're going to die.
And the planet will send out the change to our universe, getting back to science.
Well, all things are in harmony and balance.
It's all relative,
in nature, but humans are the ones who have come out of balance because we have ego and we have free will. Free will. But you know what? The books. So you said something about in no books. And I was given a message from Spirit, you know, a few years ago that this timeline we are in is about throwing away the books. And that means all books written by men.
Oh, yeah. We're in the valley, man. It's because time to rewrite the books.
Well, no rewriting the books. What this
not
is
rewriting
about,
it, but the future.
All right. Yes, it is in our hands. But here's the point. The point is it is time for us to go inside to find the light, the divine self within us, and listen to the wisdom within us. That's your book, folks. That's the original book. It's written within every one of you.
Okay.
So throw the books away, get rid of the gurus, get rid of all your dependency on the authoritarians, this, say, that, and so on. Come into yourself, into the light within you. That is the most powerful book you will ever find, because that connects you to the source, creator, great spirit.
Well, I tell you what, it's that time again, once again. I start off with Gone Crazy, Be Back Later, and I'm satisfied, I'm happy as all get out with the way today's show played out. Every single conversation, the people in the chat room, their inputs, and all the different ways that this show is what it is, and the reason why we're all here, you know, for pretty much the same purpose. We see there's a need in the world to make the world better. I honestly believe that we have the power to do so. I'm going to hold to that because that's my belief. But nonetheless, it never ceases to amaze me that when you bring all these brilliant, loving people together, the words that come up out of their mouth, the common sense, the hope, and it just all of it into one together. Today's show, I think, was really, really wonderful. I'm so happy, and I hope everybody else out there is as happy as I am about the way today. We had a few laughs going on out there. We talked about a few things, but we talked about a lot of serious things. The Knights of the Round Table is about bringing it all to the table and talking about it and working on solutions to solve the problems that we are unfortunate enough to have to live through. But I honestly believe, with everything that is me, that if there ever comes a day when this wisdom is spread across the land, those seeds, when they start to grow, it may not be during our lifetime. We might not ever get to witness the fruits of our labor. But I think that what we've planted here today in the hearts and the minds of others, you go out there, you plant your seed out there, do the same exact thing of peace, hope, and love. And it's just gonna keep on going. I think we're winning this fight. I honestly think that between the battle of good and evil, that we're winning this fight. It don't look like it because everything's a mess. It's all gone crazy. That's why you didn't hear a show today. You heard the truth. The truth coming spoke from our hearts and our minds of what we see, what we perceive, all of our differences are, and what we can do to get past everything and work everything out. The Knights of the Round Table, you know, you didn't hear a show today. You heard the truth. And that's what it's all about. That's what we're all seeking. We're going to find out what the answer is when we finally get to wherever it is that this school leads us to. But in the meantime, go out there into this world and make it better some little tiny way, even if you think it's insignificant. Make it better for someone, some creature, something. Just do something really nice. Like Barry says, he goes into buildings, he don't even know nobody, smiles, and they can't help but smile back. That's a positive power of love that you can witness from your own self. So with that said, we got one lady, so it looks like you get to go first, lady.
Oh, wow, how cool that is. Thank you. It was a great show. Gaz says, enjoyed the show in between slumber and awake stage. And I said, well, that's actually life. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just good to see everybody out here and in the chat rooms. And I do really feel that when we're here together and we're in the flow in this way, I don't see any differences with us, you know. Angel says we sure are different. I said, but we are all the same, really. You know, and we are all the same. Deep down in, we are all the same. You know, I have the same heart you do. You have the liver, you have a gallbladder. I have that too. We all have these trillions of cells within our body that are led by, you know, vibrational frequencies, depending on what our mind says or what we focus upon, right? And we were given a power beyond our imagining, and that power really is love. It's a vibration. The word love happens to be something that we're very familiar with, you know, and unconditional love as well. But I'm going to say it took me many years to find inner peace because I didn't love myself, you know. And many might have the same story, you know. I despised and hated myself due to certain things of childhood that crushed my spirit, you know. And I learned to love myself and even unconditionally and forgive myself, my ignorance, my stupidity, my mistakes, my stuff. And just feel joy and turn that love outward from me when I built it in myself toward others. And of course, I always loved the Mother Nature and creation. You know, that was my saving place. That was the place that fed me, nurtured me, healed me, built me, and all that. So I just say, if we start with ourselves, everything begins with us. Peace begins with us. So we have to be a peaceful person. We have to be a kind, loving person. You're not going to get that inner peace until you do learn to love yourself and know you are so essential and so significant. I once thought that I was not worthy of anything and insignificant and did not want to be here. And so when I learned to love myself and be accepting and also grateful, I felt inner peace come to me. And that is part of the foundation, is my relationship to the great spirit creator and the Mother Earth. And that's built the peace and the love within me. Know you are loved unconditionally by source, by creator, by God, whomever you want to pray to, even by nature, the mother earth, you know. So I feel that we are the hope of all these beings, of the tree people, all the spiritual realms, the mother, the waters, that we are the hope of creator, great spirit. And this is our time now to shine. That's what I feel. Dilamaya, Doksha.
Great stuff. So which one of you two gentlemen want to go next?
I'll let Barry go first. Do you want me to go? Okay, listen, yeah, I agree 100% with that. You know, I'll be very short for once. Our inner self with each other in loving ourselves and being able to actually look at yourself and possibly say you don't love yourself. If you continue to love yourself and show yourself the encouragement, all of the past things that may have been done or what you had done, just like, was just spoken, all of those things will go away and take care of themselves. And your energy that you will put out to other people will correct all those things. Believe that. And if you believe that, that energy source will change, and we'll get on to the next segment of shows, I'm thinking, and certainly be able to put a directive to a message where we all should be. I really was happy to be on today's show with everybody who was tuned in and in the chats, and it was a great discussion, and it made hope. I think we created something of a sign of hope, and everybody can do that within each other. So do that. Let's get on the planet. Let's get on to the new things. And I always love coming on. And what I've always said for many years, and I'm glad it started to catch on in my circle quite a bit, I love everybody, and I love you guys, and thanks for having me on. I had a great time.
Thank you. How about you, Barry?
Well, what I see today, folks, is a spiritual battle unfolding on our planet of magnitudes that we've never seen before in human history. That I see the rise of evil growing at exponential rates in all societies. I also see the rise of spiritualism around the world. And that I believe in the very near future, this is going to come to a head. Whether you're going to win or we're going to lose. For me, again, I say it's my spiritual connection that allows me to keep going forward and to share the love that I feel inside for people. earlier in my life, I did things that I am not proud of, but I look back now at that person and I don't recognize that person anymore. And I thank God for that, because if I dwelt on stuff that I've done in my life, it would destroy me. It would. But that person doesn't exist in my life anymore. He's gone. And all I can do right now is try and shine the light on the truth for people and share my thoughts and my feelings. And that's what we're here about. Great show. Thanks for having me in, guys.
Well, brother, you got a beautiful life. I love all of you. So, folks, you've been listening, or maybe not listening, to the Knights of the Round Table. It's been a fascinating show. We've gone crazy, and we'll be back later. So if you want to join us, that would be wonderful. But in the meantime, if you found anything about this show worthy of sharing the podcast with somebody, rebroadcast, or do whatever you want, just send a message on down the line, because I think there's a lot of folks out there that need to hear something good for a change, especially when the world's gone wild like it has. But I'm going to play us up out of here with a couple inspiration things as far as I am. So peace and love to everybody. You take care. You haven't been listening to a show today. You've been listening to the truth from our hearts and perspective. We love you all. Take care.
What was that band? Stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh,
one hand.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay? What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
Woman! Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how do you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
When knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routine to call the scenes, to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. When knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme to our quiet dancing able. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Shazam the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.